Blog Talk Radio.
Regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. You gotta be handy with the steal, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Betting Window. I'm your host, Stefan Rani, and with me, as always,
The Zombie Master, and welcome aboard, bitches.
And I'm Joanna. No, shut the fuck up, Joanna. You are not allowed out of your cage yet. But the sun cock ain't here today. I got need something to get over. No, Joanna,
get the fuck back in your cage, bitch. Nobody called you.
It's a fifth of vodka. Go drive.
I could say something, but I won't.
Exactly why the joke is there. I know. The last time a guy gave me a fifth of vodka, he stuck it in my ass and I fought it on him.
I could say something.
Get about
so
football, Ricky. Give him a heater.
What are you, Vince McMahon?
No. Vince came out and said that he would pay me for peeing, but then he saw I was old. My snatch was as old as Mae Young, and he said, no, fucking put that shit away. No. I'm not a fan of Avi's. I'm a fan of Long John Silver's.
Vince likes to shit on people's heads, allegedly.
Oh, that's how he got to the B with the whole thing with the Nikki Bellas and the, oh, okay, I get it.
Why do you think Vince's hair is black?
The answer is,
but anyway,
hell no.
All I'm saying,
I don't see
because,
it.
And every...
Hold up. Wait a minute.
Something ain't right.
That shit ain't right.
No, that shit ain't right. Literally. Literally, figuratively, sideways, upside down, inverted. Yep. Nope, we're good.
Check, please.
Yep. But if you are new to the show, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Betting Window, a sports news / betting podcast where we have a little bit of an Atlantic City lean, where we dive into the good, the bad, and the what the flying fuck was that? Don't worry, there will, just like Joanna, there will be a lot of what the flying fuck was that?
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
And honest to God, this is going to be a light news day, maybe a little more leaning to the sports betting for the sole fact that, well, football is off this week. We have the shitty Pro Bowl. Congratulations. No one gives a fuck. Congratulations to your dodgeball game.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I think there's a jet in it, but that's about as far as it goes.
Quentin Williams is in there because he took over for...
Sauce wasn't elected to the Pro Bowl?
Sauce was there.
I was going to say, Sauce better be at the fucking Pro Bowl.
I forget. I'm not... Listen, I don't give a shit. It's the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I remember the Pro Bowl actually meant something.
It never meant anything. It was a free trip to Hawaii.
No, not what I meant by meant something is like guys were like, you know, thrilled to be like, oh, what a great way to end the season. You know, let's go have some fun at the Pro Bowl, you know, and it's like,
well, it was never,
like
it's
that.
Not anymore. It's now, it's not.
Hold that thought for a second. I'll be right back.
It's not after the season anymore. It's in the middle of the, it's in that break when the, you know, the Royal Rumble used to be. That was the reason why everyone fucking loved it. Oh, yeah, the Royal Rumble is now here. Oh, boy. But overall, there's not a lot of news. I mean, we could start dipping into baseball news. That's even if we really want to. What do we got? me pull up baseball. MLB.
All right, I'm back. Sorry. All right, what were you saying? I had to take a break real quick. What
no, nothing, nothing really. Just pretty much bitching and moaning about how nothing else fucking... There's no...
No, I mean, like, I saw a report earlier, but like I said, take the twatter news as it is. Blake Snell is apparently close to signing with the team, but they didn't announce who yet. Then after him, if he signs with somebody, then the only big name out there is Jordan Montgomery. He's the last big name. He's the only big name left. But,
so, I mean, other news, we can talk about this for a third week in a row, because God forbid no one else will talk about this, because I'm the only one that has the balls to rip into the writers.
Oh, All-Star Game, or not All-Star, Hall of Fame.
Yep, Sheffield comes out and rips the writers after the flaw Hall of Fame voting system.
You've said it, and I've said it, we've all said it. The writers, they hold grudges.
Yeah, but what the fuck did Sheff do?
He probably pissed off a writer. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, if you're new and to the show, it's like I'm older than Ronnie and stuff like that. I remember Sheff when he first started. He was a little bit of a hothead in his earlier days of his career. I mean, he rubbed reporters the wrong way, and I think reporters have long memories, and, well, that's probably why he was not let in. And it's a tragedy because Sheffield was one of the premier home run hitters of the late 90s, early 2000s. You weren't going to find a guy who had – I mean, you had guys like Frank Thomas, you had McGuire, you had Palmeiro. Of course, we all know about those guys, but still wasn't a big dude, but still could launch a ball 450 feet, you know?
Yeah, well, like,
it's total bullshit, obviously, total bullshit.
Like, Sheff does not deserve to be off the Hall of Fame, off the writer's ballot. The writer should be, because he's a hothead. Oh, no offense. You put guys that were murderers, adults, they have cheated on their wives. Why? Because they were good to
the writers.
The writers is right. Like, I'm sorry. You don't like them. I get it for being a hothead and being a dick. Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens, A-Rod. They all should be in the Hall of Fame for what they did on the field. It's not a what happens behind the scenes award. It is a what happens on the field award.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, everybody you mentioned, with the exception of Bonds. Well, I have personal issues with him, but as a statistical value,
exactly.
Yes. But then the same arguments, like we said last week. So does fucking Pete Rose. He deserves to be in there, too. But then again,
I think the difference with that, and I think really the difference is that's not a writer's ban. That is Major League banning him.
And that they need to knock that shit off. They really, I'm sorry. And this is just my personal opinion. I don't know if Ronnie agrees or not. There's certain guys. Look, was Pete Rose an angel? No. Did he do something stupid? Absolutely. Did he get caught doing something he shouldn't have? Absolutely. But you're going to penalize one of the best hitters, one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball, and penalize him for – he's the all-time baseball hits leader. His bat and the ball that he hit, that he used, are in the Hall of Fame, but he's not. What's wrong with this pitcher?
See, I think the thing is, too, is, okay, so then I'm going to use this as an example, and I'm just going to just follow me on this, and you'll see where I'm going with this. Calvin Ridley.
Who?
Calvin Ridley.
Who else? Calvin Ridley?
NFL football, wide receiver. Used to play for the Falcons.
Now he plays for the
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay, now the name's ringing a bell. Took me a second.
Got busted for gambling. If he ends his career as a Hall of Famer, Should he be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, if the NFL is anything like Major League Baseball, well, if he was caught doing it, he did something wrong, well, then he's got to be penalized for the rest of his fucking life.
And now, because that I agree with you with. If you're going to do one on one end, you cannot sit here and tell me, oh, well, Calvin was able to get his job back after he gambled. And really, that's the first thing. And, I mean, yeah, okay. It's the same as the, you know, the quote-unquote Trevor Bauer incident mixed with anything with the Michael Vick incident. Vick went to fucking jail, and, you know, we don't want to talk about Bauer all the time, but I'll get to a point with
woof.
Michael Vick let a pit bull dogfighting ring happen under his watch, went to jail, got a job in the NFL for another 5 to 6 years.
But I'll say this, not to cut you off, but I'm going to say this. If Calvin Ridley gets into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, then I'm going to call such bullshit on that because they're going to allow that but not allow Pete Rose to get in.
Right.
No disrespect to Calvin Ridley. He might have had a great career. You know what? If you had a great career, bully for you. Wonderful. Great. Grand. Wonderful. But guess what?
No yelling on the bus.
Yeah, I get it, but you know what I mean.
No, actually, I know what
the joke was.
That's not even just the joke. That's don't yell on the bus. Like, great, grand, wonderful. You're in the same boat as Pete Rose. No yelling.
Right. You know, it's like, look, if they allow him in there, then Major League Baseball's got to turn around and say, okay, Pete, you're allowed in.
Yeah.
And if they say, what Calvin Ridley did was exactly what Pete Rose did. If you let one in, you got to let the other. You can't have it both ways.
And I think the difference is the fact that back then, the argument, I'll tell you what the argument's going to be right now from people. Oh, well, it was legal. Now, when Pete did it, it wasn't. I'm going to stop people right there and say in the guidelines of Major League Baseball and in any pro sport, it is illegal, maybe not federal, but under their law to gambling's off limits. And it's the same shit with the kids from Detroit. Like, that gets to the whole sticky situation of the kids in Detroit at the beginning of this year banned from NCAA, because they were betting on Iowa games. That's one. And then there was one from Detroit where you had the players betting, like, friendly wagering against each other. Not even betting on Vegas stuff. They were betting on the NBA against one another, and they got suspended.
But you know what it is, and it's like, and I'm going to say this too, and I've called this motherfucker out on his name before, Commissioner Buttfuck. If you don't know who Commissioner Buttfuck is, you haven't been listening to the show.
Clown.
Commissioner Buttfuck is Rob Manfred, and I'll explain why. Manfred, I've criticized Manfred for almost everything this man does, because in a lot of ways, and we're not going to get into detail about it,
we have no news. We could if we wanted to.
We could if we wanted to, but I mean, it's going to be, I mean, people, they can go back and listen. I'm just going to say this. It's like, in my opinion, he's killing the game of baseball by some of the decisions he's made. Some people agree with it. Some people don't. Some people on the show agree with it. Some people don't. But the bottom line is, what's that?
I'm indifferent. It really depends on what it is.
Regardless, but my point I'm trying to make is Manfred is looking to only do one thing, make more money for the business. When you had guys like, I'm going back to Art Giamatti, I forget what his name, the guy who owned Bud Selig and other ones, those were baseball men. Guys that respected the game and wanted the game to be played and shown respect for. Manfred's all about, oh, what sponsorships can we do? Oh, wait a minute, sponsors thing? Oh, we got to change this to appease this sponsor. We got to appease this sponsor. We got to do shut the fuck up and play the game like it's been played for over 100 fucking years, you dumbass. That's what I mean by he's killing the game. Because to him, I understand everybody says it's a business. It is, but it's also a sport. You're killing the sport by doing what you do and some of the decisions you've made. I'm not going to go into detail about them, but I'm just going to say it is like some of the decisions he's made are ruining the game. By him holding Pete Rose accountable for something he did 25 to 30 years ago, when he even admitted he was wrong, and he's like, what I did was wrong, and he went to jail, he paid his penance. Hence, like he brings back to Mr. Bauer, but we're not going to get down that road because it's two different things. One was proven innocent, one was proven guilty, but regardless. But the point I'm trying to make is Pete went to jail for what he did. He paid his penance. So, in other words, by Commissioner Buttfuck, which I will refer to him from now on, is keeping Pete locked up in jail, essentially. You're locking him. You're keeping him under lock and key. Why? Because you figure by him gambling on the thing, he ruined the integrity of the game. You're doing the same fucking thing, but for a paycheck. I mean, come on. You're like, if Snickers came to you tomorrow and said, we want every major league player to have a giant Snickers bar across their chest. We'll give you $20 million to do it. Manfred will be like, everybody get new uniforms. We got to police Snickers.
Now, let me ask you something. We talked about this last week, and I actually want your honest opinion on it. How do you feel about the alt jerseys that have been going around?
You know, if it's a once or twice a season, I don't care.
Well, let me ask you this. If it's a way to bring revenue towards minor league teams, I think that's cool. Because it's a way to get yourself the teams noticeable and out there, fine.
Right. You know what it is? If it's a once or twice a year thing, I have no problem with it.
Well, what about, say, like the Mets? I'll use this as an example. Like the Yankees show up in their gray, like Somerset, not Somerset Patriot, but like, the AAA jerseys one day, like you get like a Major League Baseball doing something like that.
Well, you know what that is? Because technically you're not really doing anything that's going to harm you because you're basically, it's the same organization.
Yeah.
You're just highlighting whatever your minor league franchises.
But like,
and you're trying to boost them up. You're trying to build them, if you get the wrestling reference there.
Yeah, but like places like the Brooklyn Cyclones, that would work for it's literally the same jersey.
Right. I mean, it's essentially, you know what it is? It's like, I remember, I don't know if you remember this, when they did this in, it was with the Colorado Rockies did a future game.
Yeah.
Where they had the futuristic jerseys and stuff like that. It was a one-off. People bought some of them. It was fun.
Make one a series. Do it one series in the year where you take your...
And you know what? And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. But I'm just talking about, like a lot of people were pissed off that they put the Nike swoosh on the uniforms now.
Everywhere it doesn't look bad except one.
What's that one?
The Yankees.
Right. But you see, this is what I'm trying to go
It doesn't
for.
Look right on the Yankees uniform. Like, I don't care. I understand that it's a marketing thing. That's fine. But... I don't know. It's something about the Yankee jersey that, like, you kind of look at it and go, why do you need Nike to be on the Yankee jersey? Put it on the hat.
But this is the point I'm trying to make with Manfred when I made the Snickers analogy. Nike went to MLB and said, we'll give you X amount of dollars, put our swoosh on your uniform, and he did it without even blinking an eyelash.
But didn't Adidas technically have the licensing to?
They did. Yeah.
And the patch, though, was still on the uniform, but it was on the bottom.
Right. But the way Adidas did it...
I know. It was more classy than...
It was more classy, and it was more in tune with the way the uniform looks. You look at a uniform now, and it's like, just do it. We just got we got X amount of dollars to promote another company. You know, it's like the movie Major League 2. Perfect example. We've used sound bites from that movie to her blue in the face. When Roger Dorn, when he was the owner of the Indians, was losing money, he pimped the team out by putting banners all over the uniform, all over the stadium just to create revenue. And he got shit for it in the movie. Well, essentially, what Buttfuck is doing is the same thing. But his is in his, it's not exaggerated like it was in the movie, but it's still being done.
No, I think the fact that the Nike swoosh is on the top corner where everyone can see it is a little much. But, like, also, too, you want people to catch your eyes. Like, you want people to catch these games again. You right. got to do something that's a little bit, as much as it is, you got to bring back some gimmicks.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, the Mets are now doing the old 1980s racing strike.
Right, and but also what the Mets did, too, they brought Old Timers Day back.
Well, I'm saying this year they got rid of the pinstripe. So last year they had the pinstripe.
Right, so, and they're going to
they're doing the racing stripe across the top. I believe that was the 67 or 68 Mets?
No, I think the racing stripe was around 85, 86.
That was the other world title.
That's when they had the down the shoulders and down across the bicep.
Yes.
And down the pant leg. I remember those. I remember those uniforms. They weren't the most attractive, but guess what? It was what it was. You got over it. Because fans back then weren't really concerned about the way the uniforms looked. Look, I could do a whole 20 minutes on. You may not remember it, but I brought it up during a show a long time ago when the Chicago White Sox decided to wear fucking shorts as a uniform.
Well, does anyone remember the reds with the sleeveless
jerseys? The sleeves. Oh, yeah, that too. But no, you don't remember that, Ronnie. I remember watching a game at Yankee Stadium on TV. It was the Yankees against the Chicago White Sox, and the White Sox looked like a softball team. They had shorts on. Literal shorts. If I could find a picture, I'd put it up, but I don't have a picture of it handy. Besides, it's not like you could see it anyway. But Google Chicago White Sox shorts uniform. Trust me, they were the ugliest fucking thing you ever saw in your life. And it lasted less than a year because then the players were complaining that when they were sliding, they were getting injured.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder why.
I mean, the only way that would have looked cool is if they did. And also, if they want to go one day to the old baggy pants, if they did those, like for the White Sox, like the White Sox ones are a great example. The baggy, like, they're not pants, but they were like up to your calves.
Right.
You know the pants I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, if you brought those back, for anyone that doesn't know, go watch Field of Dreams, those pants. If you did that first series, that'd be fucking cool. Because it would be different. It would be something that, oh, shit, they're going to watch this. Maybe not get a fan to go buy a ticket, but it gets you to watch it on television.
Okay. I don't know if you remember. I'm going to share a picture in the Skype chat with you, and I want you to see what I'm talking about when it came to those uniforms, about how fucking ugly they were.
I know which ones you're talking about. Yeah.
Now, picture for the people watching. Blue shorts up to above their knee. White shirt with Chicago written on there, and it looks like they got, what do you call those? A collar. That is so butt ugly. It's disgusting. But yet, let them do that now, and they'd be crucified.
Well, you know what they look like? They look like a cricket team.
Yeah, I don't know what the ownership of the White Sox was smoking back then when they thought this would have been a good idea. But he must have been smoking some of the weirdest reefer or weirdest whatever.
I just put it on the show.
Oh, the uniform? Okay.
Yeah.
So this, people, is what I'm talking about. I dare anybody to say that uniform looks good.
Uniform, like, literally, they look like a cricket team.
They look like a softball team. It's disgusting. It's ugly. It's stupid. It's why it didn't last. But you see, with that, but the only thing was, it was a gimmick. It failed gimmick, but a gimmick nonetheless. But by
hell no.
Thank you for that. But by putting advertiser shit all over the uniforms, this is not NASCAR, where you can have a body with all your things.
I'll get to NASCAR in a little bit.
But you see, that's what Manfred's almost like he's trying to do. It's like, oh, how much uniform space can we rent out to this company, that company, to make more money for the league? When the majority of the money is probably going in his hip pocket anyway, allegedly. I'm covering my bases here.
I mean, you might not be fully wrong.
This is why I say the man is ruining the game.
I don't... See, here's the thing. As a marketing style, yeah, he's trying to make more money for his pocket, for the company. I get that. But when it comes to the game of baseball, he's not ruining it, but he's making changes that are not smart. Like, I'll give a great example. The pitch clock needs to be a little bit. It needs to be a little bit longer. I don't mind the pitch clock if
I hate the pitch clock.
I do not mind the pitch clock if it is like 30 seconds.
I don't like the pitch clock, and I've said this on air, and a few major league players have come out and said this. I'm not going to name names because I don't remember the names off the top of my head. But a lot of the guys seem to think that by them having to rush pitches out more, that's why we might have had a few more arm injuries. Not saying it is, not saying it isn't, because I'm not a doctor. I can't really confirm nor deny it.
I just play one on TV,
yes. But the bases...
It's a very expensive piece.
Get the fuck out of here. I can't do the voice like he does.
Get the fuck out of here. No, I cannot be serious because it's very important base.
Important base, which brings me to the bases. Nice segue there.
But
the whole thing is with the bases, they look like pizza boxes. It's a joke.
You know what, though? I don't mind the bases for the sole fact that it did increase.
That part, you know what? That part I really don't have a problem with.
It did increase the game. It did increase the speed of the game and the offense of the game with the stealing and all that. It made the game, you were on your toes. And also, too, the pickoffs, I didn't mind.
I do mind because that's taking, you're taking away something that's been, that you're taking away, you're making a rule for something that's been used in baseball since as long as I can remember.
Here's the thing that no one remembers, though.
All right,
go ahead. You could still do technically a throwdown from the catcher for a pickoff, and it doesn't count.
I understand, but again, there are catchers out there that don't have super mega strong arms. Not every catcher is Pudge Rodriguez that could knock a guy out on first base with one throw.
Not everybody's fucking Baldy Peralta either.
Yeah, I mean, you guys
don't
may
ask
not...
where I pulled that fucking name.
Yeah, out. I don't know where you pulled that one out. You pulled that one out of an orifice that I don't know exists. But I mean,
good pull, though. I mean, you got to give it that. That's a good pull.
It's a good pull, but I don't know where the fuck you pulled it from. But when it comes to Pudge Rodriguez, when he in his early career, he could be in the crouch and fire a ball to first base and nail a guy.
Yeah, Cardinals.
Yadier Molina.
Yadi could do it.
Yadi could do it.
Piazza could do it.
Piazza,
early in his career when he was a Dodger.
Early in his career, he was pretty decent with it. But then again, a catcher throwing a guy, you know, trying to avoid a pickoff on first base is not something you see every day. It's not something you can watch 20 games and you might see it once or twice.
But the other
not,
thing is, too, is you didn't get a lot of – now with how – for, like, I'll use a great example for this one. Someone like Pete line up like they used to. He's the only one that I see it nowadays that stands more in front of the base than actually in between the base.
Well, you know what it is. That goes back to a rule that they created, which I'm kind of glad of, because this was one rule I never liked, was I never liked the shift. I never liked the shift because you're putting like basically 10 guys in the fucking infield, you know, to cut down hits. And that's what made the game boring. So they outlawed the shift, which that was one rule I will give him. Because the shift sucked. Because that's, I mean, a lot of guys that had hits this year might not have had them for the shift. Jeff McNeil was a great example of that. Jeff McNeil, I can't tell you how many hits he had robbed from him during the year he won the batting title because of the shift. But he adapted to it, and he got past it. He instead of hitting the ball dead on where, like, it would have been like a line drive, he elevated it. I mean, it's weird to describe, but it's true, watching him as much as I did. But having it where the third baseman is actually where the third baseman should play. The shortstop is where the shortstop should play. The second baseman does not need to be in right field. I'm sorry. Those rules were dumb. That rule was dumb. And you can't tell me I'm wrong on that one.
No. Oh, that's hilarious.
What?
This broke about a week ago, two weeks ago. Jeter Downs cut by the Yankees.
Yes, he was cut, yes. To make room for another guy that they signed to a minor league deal.
Diego
San Diego Castillo. Yeah, the Mets caught him. They picked him up, so they got rid of Jeter Downs.
Hilarious.
Yeah, you got it. You kept one guy named Jeter, but you got rid of another guy named Jeter.
Yeah. Can we finish what we were going to say? Because I got to talk about these fucking jackasses that did something disrespectful on a legend's birthday.
But no, but I mean, I just, like I said, I mean, to me, baseball should have been kept. To going back to the base stealing thing, I understand you want to limit it to that and stuff like that, and so, but now here's the thing, and this is the last thing I'll say, then you can get to what you want to say. Manfred's all about speeding up the game, make the game faster, which will bring me to one other point about a particular major league player that wants to shorten it, but I'll get to him in a minute. And I think you know what I'm talking about, but I'll get to it in a minute. You want people to watch the games because you think they have short attention spans. Do people have short attention spans this year? Squirrel! Okay, if you get that reference. But I understand that.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Fuck you. But no, it's like you want to speed up the game, but yet you want to pimp out the players too to do all this. Oh, like, oh, put this on the uniform, put this on the uniform. Oh, we got to do this. If the games are longer, the sponsors, you could put in more sponsorships, you make more money. Just that. Now, when it comes to the shortening of the game or making the game shorter, hey, Anthony Rendon. Hey, Mr. Rendon, when was the last time you played a season? When's the last time your ass was on the field? You signed this big-ass contract with Anaheim, and you haven't played a full season since you signed today. The year you signed that contract, you were out half the year, if not the whole year. And all the years you've been with Anaheim, you have not had a full season. And you're pissing and moaning. You want the season to be shorter? You want the season to be 60 games like in the pandemic year?
No, first off, okay, I'm gonna answer that question with another question. Why the fuck 60?
He wants to – I don't know why. But he said, but 60 was his number.
Listen,
don't know where he pulled that out of his ass, like you pulled that quote before out of your ass.
Listen, we all agree that the season would be shorter. We've also all agreed on it being 100 games.
120 to 130 games would be fine. Maybe 140 at the max. But to say go from 162 games to 60? The fuck are you smoking, you dumbass?
Okay, then have fun being – then have fun for everybody that wants to go see a pro league baseball game shelling out $3,500 a game.
So, I mean, I really – I wish I could get inside –
no one's going to pay for him.
So, tell me this. Now, you're the Anaheim Angels, Los Angeles Angels, whatever the fuck they're called. The Angels. Fuck it. Hate these names when they get complicated.
The Angels of Anaheim of San Diego. I don't know.
Schmuck. But no, but what I'm trying to say is...
Sorry. The Angels of Anaheim of Los Angeles. There
you go. Boom.
Yes.
Try to fit all that on a hat. Try to fit all that on a hat.
That's why there's just an A.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, A for asshole.
An L and an A. Los Angeles.
Los Angeles of Angels of whatever, but what anything. But the point I'm trying to make is, out of everybody in Major League Baseball, to come out and say something like that, anybody else, they'd kind of be like, oh, they think about, they mull it over and they go, oh, woman. But to have it come out of the mouth of a guy who's not had a full season in five seasons he's been with Anaheim. Not had a healthy year in five fucking years.
And they're looking to cut him. They were looking to release him last year when they...
Exactly, because they're paying this guy over $100-something million. I forget what the exact contract was with him. In fact, you know what? I'm going to look it up. Let me look it up.
Oh, God.
I'll look it up. Hold on. Anthony Rendon contract. Let's see. He signed a 7-year, $245 million contract with the Angels. And when did he sign this? He's a free agent after next year. So he signed this deal 7 years ago. In the entire time he's been with Anaheim, he's never played a full fucking season because he hurt this part of his body, or he hurt that part of his body, or he hurt this part of his ass, or this part of his dick, or whatever. But the point I'm trying to make was, I'm being sarcastic when I say his ass and his dick, but that's beside the point. But the point I'm trying to make is, he is bitching and moaning that the season's too long. Haven't you play a full season before you have an opinion like that?
No one plays a full season anyway.
But... I understand nobody plays, people have days off or there's injuries that happen, fluke injuries that happen during the season. I get that. But this bitch hasn't produced since he was with the Nationals. And he's got the balls to come out and say the season should be 60 games. Hey, where did you pull the 60 number out, like Ronnie said before? Where did you pull that number out of? What body part did you pull that out of? Same place your head is, actually. And why are you even chiming in? Does anybody give a fuck what your opinion is? The only reason people are talking about it is because it came out of your mouth for a guy who hasn't had a healthy year in seven fucking seasons with a team. I wanted to bring this up last week, but I had other things on my mind. It didn't dawn on me, but I thought about it tonight. It's like I wasn't going to bring it up anyway. This is why I wish Ryan and Christian were here, because I would have loved to have heard their thoughts on this. But I want your opinion on what I said about Rendon. Do you agree, disagree, or do you have anything to add on it?
Oh, no. Rendon needs to understand that, dude, the only reason you're getting paid $50 billion a year, just throwing that number out there for reasons,
It's about 39 mil a year.
Okay. The only reason you're getting paid that is because there's 162 games.
Right.
Are you willing to take a pay cut to make the games go to 60?
And he'd be the first guy to say, no, I'm not taking
this
a pay cut.
This is the same argument that I had 3 years ago with good old... oh, God, numbnuts out in San Diego.
Machado, Tatis?
Snell.
Oh, Blake Snell, yes.
Because oh, well, it's my body. I deserve to be out there. I deserve to get my full cut.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that argument you had. Oh, yeah, I remember that well.
Like, really? Really? So then you don't want to play 162 games because that would be your full cut?
Okay, so I'm not good with mathematicals. If players got paid for how many games they played, that 40 million or whatever, between 35 and 39 million that he was making per season were to be cut, you'd make,
we're looking at 37%. So what was it, 39 million?
Oh, hold on, I'll pull it back up again. Hold on, I can pull it back up. I'll pull up because they broke down on it. It's average salary of $35 million a season, with incentives. The base salary could equal up to a total of $38 million.
Okay, so I'll go 37
in a row.
Uh huh. 37 million times 0.35. Okay, that $37 million would go down to, would be about $2 million if you want to make the game a third.
Okay, here's the thing. I pulled up his stats. Now, according to him, he won 60 games, right?
Sorry,
right?
Yeah.
He won 60 games? All right, in 2020, obviously everybody had a shortened season due to the pandemic. I get that, so I'm going to exclude 2020, because 2020 doesn't count. Going forward with 2021, 58 games. Mm-hmm. Then he played 47 games in 2022. In 2023, he played 43. Do you notice a trend here?
Yeah.
It's going
okay.
Down, not up.
So, by the way, I'm wrong. So, all right, if he played a third of the games,
mm-hmm.
his salary would be $12,210,000, give or take, if it was 38 or 37.
But you want your 38, but no, you want to shorten it. So if you shorten it, everybody's contract's got to get cut too. Throw that argument that way. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
If Rendon needs to sit the fuck down, shut the fuck up, play the game for what it is, and the person that you'll never go be now owns his team. The Baltimore Orioles have sold their team.
To who?
To an investor group run by Mr. Iron Man himself.
Cal Ripken?
Yep.
See, I don't have a problem with that. Because
Cal Ripken Jr. runs, is
the
now
Orioles.
The head. Oh, he is in a group that has funded, that sold it for $1.35 billion with a B.
Biblical B.
It's Grant Hill. It's him and Grant Hill are among groups inquiring to buy the Orioles.
You see, that I don't have a problem with, because you know what? Cal is an old school baseball guy. I got no problem with that. But just to finish up the Rendon thing.
Yeah.
It's just like I have his stats. He started in 2013. And 2013, I'm just going to run it. So 2013, and then when I stop talking is last year with the Nationals.
Yeah.
It's 98, 153, 80, 156, 147, 136, 146. That's how many games he played.
Okay, so, I mean.
He was an Iron Man. He played a good chunk of his games. Then all of a sudden he goes to Anaheim, and all of a sudden becomes Mr. Injury. He's like Super Dave Osborne, if anybody gets that reference. The guy thought he was a stuntman. He was always getting hurt. Hence, he's the Super Dave Osborne of the Angels. Roddy, I think you said it best. He needs to sit down, shut the fuck up. You're still getting your $38 million. It's still a guaranteed contract, bitch. So take your $38 million, sit down, and shut the fuck up and ride the pine, because that's all you're good at doing.
By the way, I was wrong. $1.725 billion.
But no, going to that, that's great. Because Cal
is the Orioles.
He's Mr. Orioles.
Yes. He's Mr. Iron Man. Like, he is one of the best third/shortstops out there.
The man is in the Hall of Fame for a reason. He's in the Hall of Fame because of his play on the field, being an Iron Man like he was, and just his all-around, he was the antithesis. Big word there. Pat myself on the back. I'll give myself a Barry Horowitz for that one. Antithesis of a baseball player. Hence why when you saw guys like Jeter coming up, who did they say they look to and idolize? It's guys like Cal fucking Ripken.
Let's face it, the three biggest guys in the 90s were the guys that played next to Cal, and that was A-Rod, Jeter, and Nomar.
Unfortunately, Nomar's career got short.
I'm talking about when he was with Boston, when he was with Boston.
Right, but then you go, you look at guys like Ozzie Smith. He wasn't a big name, but he was an all. He was a Gold Glover. We lost him not too long ago, a couple of years ago. Tony Fernandez.
I mean, if you want to go with shortstops, Mr. Cub,
Ernie Banks,
yep.
Phil Rizzuto, Pee Wee Reese. I mean, I could go on for hours about shortstops. Cal Ripken personified what it is for a baseball player and how to play baseball and how to handle yourself on and off the field. And I have nothing but respect for Cal. I've always had respect for Cal. I respect players who respect the game. You disrespect the game, go fuck yourself. And Rendon, one last word on, you're disrespecting the game, go fuck yourself. But Cal, I got nothing against Cal. That's like when Jeter owned the Marlins.
But, yeah, it's a little weird that he was the Marlins. Like, he ran the Marlins.
Yeah, that's yeah, that never set right with people. I'm sorry.
Then again, I don't understand why the fuck they needed to have a fish tank on the field.
And I like the Marlins statue that used to be in the outfield. I got a kick out of that thing when guys used to hit it. You know, with the home run that would hit the, they would hit the home run sculpture. I got a kick out of that. He got it. He got rid of it.
Granted, that was just a stolen idea from the Mets.
Oh yeah. Well, you know how many? I don't remember who hit it. I think it was that guy that hates playing the Mets now. That guy used to catch for us, but I'm not going to say his name because he's a piece of shit too. He hit a home run off the apple, and the next day. Next day, yeah, Freudian slip there. Next day, they put Band-Aids on the apple where he hit.
Canadians are weird.
Yeah, that they are. But I love them anyway because I have a lot of friends that are Canadian. But no, but that was it was a shtick, but it was funny. It got, you know, they actually put T-shirts out with the bruised apple, you know, coming out of the hat. I dug the home run sculpture. I wish they'd bring. I hope to God the Marlins bring it back because I think that that's an integral part of Marlins history because that was something that came when the Marlins started. That's been there since the Marlins started, just like Billy Marlin, and he got rid of him too. You know? Look, Derek, I love you, respect you, you're a great guy, but stop fucking with things. Stop fucking with things. Hence, well.
So, all right. So, two other things, and we'll start looking into other stuff. We have a new cover for MLB The Show.
Who is it?
Vladdy Jr.
Vladdy's going to be on it?
Yep.
He's been on the cover before, though.
No, Jr. was never.
Yes, I believe he was.
I know Jr. was.
Now, wait a minute. Let's see.
Junior was never on it.
I think he was.
If he was, it was like his second last year.
Let me see. I'm looking it up now. Let's see. I think. Maybe you were right. Because was he ever? Let me see. Was he ever on the cover? No, apparently. Yeah, no, I guess he wasn't. All right, I was wrong. I thought he was. I could have sworn I thought he was.
I was going to say, I don't think he was ever on the show.
Maybe he was on, you know what, maybe he was on
2K.
2K, maybe that's what I'm thinking about. Maybe that's what I think he was on 2K.
So now I bring this up. He's also now putting up that he wants the home run title.
He's been in the home run hitting contest a couple of years. He's never won. He's only won.
He won it when he was going for the Triple Crown, when Ohtani won it.
That was what, 22?
Yeah, he won two out of the three. He missed the home run. Ohtani had the home run, and he had the batting average and RBI.
Right. And I think Pete beat him in the home run hitting contest that one year.
Yeah.
So the first time Pete won it is when he beat Vladdy Jr.
Yeah, so he's 25-1 to win it. He's fairly low on the list. He's next to Trout.
That's another guy who can't stay healthy on the field, but
no. He needs to get out of Anaheim. That's what he needs.
Yeah, well, they've already gotten rid of one of their heroes out there, so why not get rid of the other one and completely clean?
And they still have Shohei though at 9-1 to win the home run title
this year.
Yeah,
the guy's not going to play until possibly August. If
I
then
I don't know. From what it sounds like, he's gonna start the season.
I think that's if that indeed does happen, then the Dodgers are fucking stupid. Because all you're going to do is you're possibly going to put more stress on that elbow of his, and he may not be able to pitch. You might be shooting yourself in the foot with that one. Just saying. Tell me I'm wrong, though. That could hamper his recovery time. I say let the guy come back in June or July or August and play. At least if you get him on the field at some point this year, that would be great. Don't rush him. Because if you rush him, you're just going to hurt him again.
There we go. He's ready at least. So they're saying he's going to at least hit when the bell rings at the start of the 2024 season.
Big mistake, but little I know. Big mistake.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not agree with. I mean, they got to get their. They got to find out how to. They got to figure a way to get some of their reinvestment already, right?
The only reason they're doing that is so they can get asses in the seats. That's the only reason, and the Dodgers are running themselves a movie studio. We got to have that blockbuster. We got to have that $500 million or $700 million blockbuster. Oh, if that blockbuster is delayed, we're not going to make any money. And we also got almost $400 million in for a guy who's never pitched in the major leagues.
So you ready with this? You ready for this?
Good.
These are the 13 anticipated dates for Shohei.
All right.
February 22nd, spring trainer opener against the Padres.
It'll be look like a great shot from him from the bench.
I know, right? March 20th, Padres. In Korea.
Another great shot of him from the bench. Come out and tip your hat. That's about all that's going to be.
March 26th, exhibition matchup at the Angels.
Again, tip the hat. Sit back on the bench.
So apparently, by the way, this March 20th game are regular season games.
Huh.
The Padres two-game series against the Dodgers two-game series against the Padres in Seoul, South Korea, marking the first MLB regular season games to play in Korea on the international stage. So March 20th, when we're not even at the regular season mark, where we still have spring training games, we are going to play two regular season games.
It's Commissioner Buttfuck again.
March 28th. Well, here's the thing. Why don't you make the game... Why do you have to make the game the 20th? Make the 20th the exhibition game against the Angels, and then make, like, the 24th two games in Korea, then you come home and have the home opener against the Cardinals.
Because that would make sense.
By the way, 28th, home opener against Cardinals. April 5th, at the Cubs. 26th, at the Blue Jays. May 3rd at the Braves, May 13th at the G-Men, at the Giants. May 27th is home for us against the Mets, June 7th at the Yankees, and June 11th at the Rangers, and then June 21st against the Angels, and then September 3rd at the Angels.
But here's my thing, too, and it's like, I don't know if it's this year. Maybe you could look it up. I think the Mets are playing in England this year. I could have sworn I thought, because don't forget, like, the Yankees played one year over in England and stuff. I think the Mets and the Phillies are playing overseas this year, I think.
Yes. I don't know if it's in England or if it's in Mexico.
No, I think it's England. I think I saw it was England. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's England.
It might be London.
London. That's with the London series. Because every year they play at least one series in London. And I think the Mets and Phillies got tapped for it this year. Chris DePose, mate.
Right, yeah.
Chris DePose, mate. Where's the apple, mate?
Be kind of cool if they brought that over there, too.
What, the apple?
Yeah, like...
mini apple.
Yeah, mini apple.
Or you know what? If the Mets hit a home run, have a little Big Ben come out of a hat.
That would be cute, yeah. So, June 8th and 9th.
It's over in London?
Yeah, Mets Phillies.
That's what I thought. I mean, I remember seeing that. That'll be good.
Tickets start for $20 for children, $40 for adults. Gee, can we get those prices over here?
Yeah, good fucking luck. $20, it costs you $20 just to fucking park.
And
the food will cost you about $20.
In L.A., it's $20 for a fucking beer.
Again. Merchandising. The kids love this one.
So here's your expanded games. Houston Rockies are going to be in Mexico City.
Uh-huh.
Dominican Republic is Boston, Tampa. And then Seoul, Korea is L.A. versus San Diego.
You know what would have been a thing? Miami and Tampa Bay in Dominican would have been a better game.
Yeah, that would have. Like, that was...
Because that's technically the two teams closest to the Dominican that would have, I think that would have attracted more attention. But that's just me.
The Miami Marlins and the Tampa Bay. Yeah, or Houston.
Houston and, say, the Rangers. Have them play in Mexico City.
Why Colorado? Colorado, no one wants to watch.
And it's Marlins and who?
No, it's Colorado and Houston in Mexico.
No, but I'm saying, but who's going to be playing in the Dominican, you said?
Boston and Tampa.
Who the fuck wants to see that?
I don't know.
Why not have the Minnesota Twins and the Cincinnati Reds play in Mexico City? That makes a lot of sense.
Why did they just bail on Japan?
Because I think going to Japan is a little more that's a little further out, and that's a little bit of a longer trip.
Well,
the plane ride just alone. It's got to be like a 12 to 14-hour flight.
I know why they stopped doing it in Japan. Remember after the last time how many people got fucking sick?
That too.
Because of the sushi, the food poisoning?
That too. But, I mean...
This was 98?
Yeah, well, one of our former presidents yacked in the lap of one of them.
Define yacked in former president.
It was George Bush Senior went to Japan, and you can look this up. It's hysterical. There's a video of him at I'm pretty sure it was Japan. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he leans over to the I don't know if it's the prime minister, the president. I don't know what they call him over there. He leans over and. Bleh, right in his lap. And this video, you can see the... It's like a river coming out of his mouth. It's bad. And he said he had food poisoning. Oh, God, I guess that's not saying much for the food over there. Oh.
I mean, the last time someone else had the yak in the president's lap, we were talking about Monica Lewinsky, I think.
No, she got a yak in the face, not a yak in the lap.
Oh, yak in a blue dress.
Yeet.
Yeah, yeah, no. And finally, we'll get this and we'll leave it at this. MLB and fans and the clubs have raised $144,000 because of the jackasses that destroyed the Jackie Robinson Memorial.
I heard about this. I want to get the full story. I didn't hear the full story, but give me the full story so I could go off on these dumbasses.
MLB and clubs to replace vandalized Jackie Robinson statue. It's kind of fucked up because now we're talking about this today on his birthday. Yeah. Looks like found buried and dismantled on Tuesday. Replaced by major leagues in the 30 clubs. Okay. Was erected in 2001 in front of McAdams Park, which is the home of the League 42 Youth Baseball League. Statue today, Wednesday, which also marks Jackie Robinson's 105th birthday. GoFundMe, $156,000. It would be joyous occasion, 5 days. So it doesn't look like, doesn't say why. All they show, though, is a photo of the thing ripped up by the feet. Like, they cut it at the knee, at the ankles, and just ripped it up and buried it.
That's a desecration right there.
They're not saying who did it. I don't think they know who did it. They don't know why it was done.
Gee, I have a theory about possibly.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
I have a theory, but I'm not going to say why, but I have my theories, but it's just, that's disgusting. Jackie meant so much to this game, and Jackie was a pioneer for this game, and his memory should never be desecrated in such a way. Just saying that.
It's the fact that, okay, they put the statue. And I'm just going to say what we're all saying. If they took it out because he's black.
Couldn't agree more.
Because I guarantee you, you're not old enough to watch Jackie play.
Yeah, like
and
I said.
90-year-old man is going to be taking out a Jackie Robinson statue. They can't pick it up.
Nope. There was a joke I remember from...
And you wonder why Targets are now not allowing kids under 18 being in their stores.
And why some malls actually have to have a chaperone. I've actually heard...
Hi, welcome to
Chili's. You hear that one, right? You've heard that, right? Certain malls have... You have to have a parent or adult...
Dummy! Dummy!
Yeah! Yeah! But no, the joke was, you're familiar with Weird New Jersey magazine.
Yep.
You know, I don't know how familiar you are with Abbott and Costello.
Yep.
Lou Costello was born and raised in Patterson. There's a statue of him inside of one of the parks in Patterson, portraying him from the Who's on First bit.
Yeah.
And the article said, because Patterson is not exactly the greatest area in Jersey, not exactly very popular. Who the hell is that? I'm not touching that joke. but the joke was, it's like, there's a reason why the Lou Costello statue is holding a bat. It's protecting himself. But no, it's just like,
Arby's, we have the meat.
I just think it's disgusting that they did that about the statue. It's just disgusting. That's all. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's disgusting. And
it's
fucking bullshit.
Thank you, Cheeky Baby. Like the old joke, like they said, they should be strung up and hung up by the go-between.
Hey now.
Just going to leave that there. Let that marinate.
Yeah.
Little Letterkenny. Yeah, why don't you sit there and let that marinate? But what else we got? Any other?
So long, eh, Bowser.
You schmuck. You schmuck.
So, all right. Have you ever heard of a company that does, they're TikTok guys, but that are named Outkick the Coverage?
Doesn't sound familiar to me.
Okay. So, you remember the old, remember the woman that used to do the bump? Casey Kelly, I think was her name.
Kathy Kelly.
She worked there now. After she got fired from ESPN for things that I won't really talk about, that very touchy subjects, but as a white woman, she was being mistreated. Allegedly.
Oh, yeah. Use that allegedly. Yeah. Make sure you use that word so we can cover our ass.
This company, I've watched them, and they have they're okay. Like, they're entertaining. Some of them are entertaining. Other need to kind of know their roles?
Shut their mouths?
Yeah. Because they brought up NASCAR.
Oh, I was wondering how you were going to bring it back to NASCAR, because you had said something about NASCAR earlier.
Yeah. So pretty much on the kickoff of, we're a week away from the Clash. Actually, I think it's this week. I think it's the third. I think the Clash is the week before the Super Bowl, which is the first big race of the year that's not the kickoff of the season. It's like their preseason race, but it's held in the Coliseum, the LA Coliseum. Very small. Fucking awesome.
A lot of left turns.
Yeah. A lot of crashes in this, because it's literally like, it's the size of a fucking football field.
Oh, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen some stories about it, but.
Well.
You know, the old joke, honey, make a left. Honey, make a left. Honey, make a left.
Thank God they don't have GPS for it. Turn here. Left turn here.
Recalibrating.
Make left turn. You are going in the wrong direction.
Recalibrating.
So they started talking about how the woke people are killing NASCAR.
Okay. Now, I'm sitting down, so go ahead.
How they are more trying to be diverse and be more part of LGBTQ and all that other shit. And listen, they want to do that. They want to try to. So here's the problem that I have with people saying that NASCAR is going woke. And it honestly turns around, and this is honestly the same conversation you could have with baseball. They're
sponsors?
Trying to, no, not sponsors. They're trying to reach out to new people. And, oh, they're being more diverse. They're being more this. Someone's like, oh, well, what are they going to have, drag queens singing the national anthem? No.
You want to be diverse? You know how you can make diverse in NASCAR? They have them make right-hand turns instead of left.
They have road courses now. They literally do. NASCAR has road courses.
I know, and I've seen some of those races, and they're butt ugly to watch.
Yeah, they're not pretty.
They're butt ugly.
Let's face it. If it's not Indy, if it's not Daytona, if it's not Darling. If it's not one of the main speed tracks, like the ovals, Bristol.
Right. I know what you're talking about.
Nobody
yeah,
gives a shit unless there's going to be a possibility for crashing. The super speedways, as they like to call it.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, I've always been a fan of NASCAR. I've not been a loyalist, but I've always I've always watched it. If it's on, I'll turn it on and stuff. You look at, like, Talladega.
Hey, there's another one, Talladega.
Daytona. Mobile. Charleston. There's one in Charleston. The Pocono 300, you know, and stuff like that. These are some of the premier. I'm going to use a wrestling analogy. It's some of these tracks are like the Madison Square Garden of NASCAR.
Yeah.
Especially the top two, like Talladega and Daytona. Those two are like cathedrals for NASCAR fans.
Yeah. And then
Bristol. Bristol's another big one.
And then Indy.
And Indy. Indianapolis, yes. But it's like...
good old Brickyard.
Oh, the Bricks. There was one. I forget the name of the state. There's one that they closed down, but that now they're actually toying with the idea.
Atlanta.
It wasn't Atlanta. It was a speedway that was basically abandoned for years, and they're starting
I thought it was Atlanta. I swear to God, I saw the photo that was the Atlanta Speedway.
Could be right. You could be right. I'm not like I said. All I know is it was abandoned. In fact, you know what? Keep talking. I'm going
to
look it up.
The thing is what I'm trying to get at is you're going to say, oh, well, they're doubling down. I go, okay, so what's wrong with a girl liking NASCAR?
Nazareth.
Nazareth.
Okay. North Wilkes-Barre, too. Both of them are like, they're actually, the North Wilkes-Barre Speedway, they're actually starting to hold races in it again after the place was abandoned for decades. They're starting to bring it back.
But here's the thing. So I'm going to say this, and it's going to come out a little wrong, but follow me.
I got you.
You're going to – so what's wrong with a girl watching NASCAR?
I knew plenty of girls that watch NASCAR.
Okay. What if they're gay?
So? Okay.
Why the fuck are people bitching that NASCAR is going woke when they're trying to get different viewers, different sponsorships?
I look at it this way. It's like I've always said, it's like whatever a person, you know, whether they like men, women, whatever the situation, that's how they want to live their lives. Bless their hearts. Let them live the way they live. Don't – some of these people trying to make it like what you're describing – Why go there?
But the fact is okay, is the sport, yes, the sport changing because of them? No? Then shut the fuck up and enjoy NASCAR.
You're not wrong.
You're not seeing Kentucky Derby. You are not seeing a 400-pound jockey getting on a horse. I was about to say camel.
Whoopsie. Phrasing.
You're not seeing a 400-pound jockey getting on a horse riding in the Kentucky Derby. Describe the jockeys that are normally horseback riders. Either women or very tiny Hispanics.
I was just going to be like, yeah, I'm keeping my mouth closed on that one.
No, but I'm saying this, though, is... Okay.
I know what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from, though. I get where you're coming from.
Don't
though.
Stereotype something just because, okay, yeah. These guys make more money than us put together. These jockeys would make more money than anybody that could imagine.
Oh, you're right. You're totally right.
They get 10% of the purse.
Yes, they do.
And you're talking about a Kentucky Derby that's like, the purse is a lot of money.
Yeah, just a wee bit.
They get 10% of that. That could set them for life. That could set them for...
for life.
Yeah, but no, but like I started listening to it, and I don't mind them. Like, when they're talking about certain things, like, they'll bring up the whole Leah Thomas situation, and it feels very... right wing based.
No,
and God forbid, this we're not a politics show.
No.
So if anyone's not listening, this is, we're not a politics show.
We are far from it.
But we will talk politics when it's necessary.
If the situation calls for it, we will bring it up.
But someone wrote in the comments, oh, well, NASCAR died when Dale died. No, it didn't.
What, in our comments just somebody just put?
No. In one of the Kick the Coverage comments.
Look, let me just say this about Dale. I was a big – I watched that race live.
Yeah, so did I.
I loved Dale Sr. and Jr. I was a big fan of the Earnhardt, big fan of the Earnhardts. Was it a devastating day for NASCAR? Yes. Was it something that will never be forgotten and never be replaced? Absolutely. But it's not. It didn't die when he died. Somebody could turn around and say, "Oh, baseball died when Roberto Clemente died."
Right.
You could say, baseball died when Babe Ruth died, or so. But the point I'm trying to make is like, as much as it hurts that we lose these people, what happened if they retired? They're not going to be there every week. Right?
Right. It's the fact that you go, these places go and try to make it, okay, they put their lean on it. It's like, you know, I agree with some things they said, especially when, like, the girl from WWE is on there. I get what she's saying. And she doesn't make it, she does not make it politicky. She factors in her belief in what the sport is.
Right.
ESPN's the other, is the same way where they kind of lean a little left. Fine, whatever. But when I start hearing places going, oh, well, you go woke, you go broke in NASCAR. When did NASCAR go woke? Because guess who the guy that's saying, gentlemen, start your engines at Daytona is going to be this year?
Who?
The Rock. Yeah. Dwayne Johnson is, by the way, and also too, if you haven't noticed, WWE has always been part in some way of NASCAR.
Oh, so was WCW was. Who remembers when Kyle Petty.
Kyle Petty.
Drove an NWO car.
Yeah, Joey Logano ran the
WCW car.
No. Joey Logano ran the 2K
car.
Not the 2K. It was the Raw versus SmackDown car.
Right. But then there was also a WCW car. There was an NWO car.
Mark Martin, the Viagra car, was the biggest promotion to WCW.
Boy, that was a stiff pull. Hey, now.
he won by an inch.
It must have been a stiff race at the ball, but a stiff race, stiff wind at the park that weekend.
No, it was definitely a stiff breeze coming down the backstretch.
He won by a head.
I am a man!
Oh, God, we could do this all night with the jokes, with the puns.
Oh, God. But no, like...
Where the fuck is Ryan? Sucks that he's got to work.
But that's
Damn
the
it.
Thing. But that is the thing, though. They used to promote NASCAR on CBS all the fucking time, and it was... Mark Martin was the car that was the promotion.
He was the face of it.
For WCW, like, as much as people want to say it, like... The Viagra car was the face of WCW. Kind of fits knowing who was in WCW at the time, Hulk Hogan.
Brother. What you gonna do, brother, when the little blue pill runs wild on you?
Take the little blue pill and step into a Slim Jim. Talk about taking a ride on Space Mountain.
Woo!
Which,
but,
by the way, is even funnier now that Ric Flair is actually promoting Viagra.
That's fucking sad.
And literally the tagline is, take a ride on Magic Mountain, or on Space Mountain.
What was his old joke? He goes, Oldest ride, longest line.
Yeah. Give me a 2 class and a Ric Flair. Woo!
You know, two chest slaps and a woo.
Oh, God.
But no, it's like, you know, does anybody, I mean, she wasn't the greatest racer.
People watched it for Danica.
I was just going to say Danica. Danica wasn't an elite racer, but she wasn't a terrible racer either.
No.
She never finished in the top 10, but she was an attraction. But here's the thing. There hasn't been a woman before her and since her that has had the qualifications and the ability to race like she has.
That wasn't a gimmick.
She was a pioneer. And she was a damn good pioneer, too. Wasn't she the leader of GoDaddy? Well,
yep.
Yeah, we can make jokes there, too.
Her and former WWE Diva champion.
Candice Michelle.
Hold up.
You can tell.
Wait a minute.
You can tell it's a slow news day when we start bringing up Candice fucking Michelle.
That's my purse! I don't know you!
Exactly.
Oh, thank God no one knows who Candice LeRae is. Just go look up her other work.
Candice Michelle. You said Candice LeRae.
Sorry, Candice Michelle. Sorry, Candice LeRae. Love you. Like,
she was in the movie Dodgeball.
I'm not talking about Dodgeball.
I know.
It's another part of the skin in the game.
Oh, come on. Don't play, man. Come on, boy. Don't play.
Oh, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it.
You didn't get the reference.
Oh, no. I got the reference. I'm talking about another TV channel that usually came up scrambled.
Spice Channel.
Close. This one came after the Spice.
Spice Channel, damn it. Spice Channel again makes a debut on the network.
Good
or a return.
Good old Cinemax.
Skinemax.
Jesus!
No,
Cinemax.
It was Skinemax.
No, Jesus is what she was screaming. Oh, shit.
Jesus!
Exactly. Oh, God, we're having too much fun without Ryan here, man. He's probably going to kick us for not saying, why didn't you wait till I was on to do
what
this?
What the
exactly. But Danica was a good, like I said, I watched a couple of her races. I mean, she had, I don't know if it was the car or it was her driving. I don't know. She just never had a lot of luck when in the few years she did run in NASCAR. But I got respect for her because, like I said before, she was a pioneer. She opened the door, and it sucks that there hasn't been a woman to step up and to try to follow, you know, right on her coattails of it, but there just hasn't been. I don't know if there is. Maybe you know of one. I don't know.
No.
Danica was a lot like in the late 70s, early 80s, when Andre the Giant would go wrestle around all the territories. He was an attraction, and people paid to see him. People paid to come and watch Danica race. And she didn't have the career Andre had, but then again, now here's the thing. I don't know. Does NASCAR have a Hall of Fame?
Yep.
Would you put her in it? That's a legit question. Would you put her in it? I disagree. I say yes because she kicked the door open and she was the first.
But she didn't have...
Granted, she didn't have the stats for it, but still, the first woman ever to race against men in NASCAR. That's history making right there. For that alone, I think she deserves it. Just saying, that's my opinion on that one. I disagree with you on that one, but. What else we got? Any basketball news? Any hockey news?
No, I got a horse racing news that is very interesting.
Well, we can talk about it now because we don't have to worry about pissing anybody off.
Yeah, this is coming out of New York.
All right, go ahead.
I'm trying to see what facility. Okay. It was not on the track. This was at a training facility in Orange County, New York.
Okay.
Forrest was named Finish Line last July at Pine Bush Training Facility in Crawford, about 60 miles from north from New York City. A harness racing trainer is being charged with animal abuse and possibly, it doesn't say, but possibly murder.
Really?
Or striking a horse that died.
Whoopsie. Yeah, it's a big whoopsie.
Harness horse training upstate New York is accused of striking a horse and fracturing its skull.
You abuse an animal? That's a go-between hanging for me.
Required the animal to euthanize, authorities said. Take a guess at the age.
2.
No, of the guy.
Oh. 25.
Close, he was 26.
I was off by a year.
2 charges in connection with the death of a horse. Yeah, he was arraigned and on 2 charges in connection with the horse's death.
It's animal abuse. It's animal abuse.
Yeah, but they could also get him on something else because they're definitely going to get him for animal abuse.
Oh, yeah, without question.
What did he hit him with that fractured the damn horse's skull?
Rock, a piece of wood, like a 2x4. I don't think those riding crops are hard enough.
But that's the thing. That's the first thing that popped in my head. I'm like, can't be a riding crop.
No, those things would – they're more – unless it was a steel one. Which I don't think they make steel
ones.
Okay,
so he was indicted on 2 felony charges, including second-degree criminal mischief. Ordered Bogart, who was from Canada, to suspend his passport.
He was from where?
He was from Canada.
What soundbite goes from there?
I don't know. I'll pull it up. I'm literally reading it, so you got to give me...
Canadians are weird! There you go.
This jackass is a repeat offender who has been booted from racing years ago and is banned the first time he whipped a horse after a race was over.
Oh, so this little pussy's done this before.
Here we go. Animal notice that jackass has been previously fined and suspended for kicking horses for excessively uses of the whip.
Oh, so this little pussy's done this before.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. He's done this before.
And I said what I said, so I'm not going back on what I said.
Oh, no. I'm in full agreement. There's no defending this schmuck. That's why do you think I've not said his name? 26 years old, and he's a repeat offender? What was he, fucking 20 when he first did it? Wait, hold on. Better question. He's a repeat offender, and you still kept his fucking training facility open. And it's harness racing. So a lot of the horses are above 5 years old. Because it's not like they get trained in regular horseback racing. Harness racing is complete, to people's belief, harness racing is completely different than actual horseback riding, racing, like Kentucky Derby. It's completely different.
Right.
It's a lot weirder. and PETA came out and said, why was this, said exactly what I said. Why was he able to keep his barn? First time I'll agree with PETA. I mean, you can't really argue with them. As much as we don't like PETA, we can't really argue with them. Why was he able to keep his barn?
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's, there's things I want to say, but I'm just going to keep it to myself.
Oh, no, let it out.
No. Because, you know as well as I do on this network in the past how I feel about animals who are abused.
Listen, this is not about PETA. This is about this fucking dickhead. We both agree this dickhead should be thrown in jail and throw the key away.
I'm trying to choose the right words. But I don't want to come out sounding too violent either.
Well, let's just say this.
I can't think of anything to say that's gonna be that wouldn't construe something bad being said back. And it's just the fact, I'll say this, the fact that he was allowed to continue to be around these beautiful animals, the person who allowed him to do this, the person who okayed this, is just as guilty as fuck as him.
Because I think in New York, you need a...
You need a license, and whoever signed that license for him, you, sir or madam, covering my bases here, you, sir or madam, are just as guilty as him.
Yep.
Because you allowed this piece of dog shit to do this. Once you're caught, one time, you're done. You're done. But you allowed it.
And people want to call Bob Baffert a fucking asshole for giving his horse steroids.
Yeah, but steroids didn't kill the horse.
No, that's what I'm getting at. But people in this business, in this industry, have bitched at Baffert for...
Look, are we saying that's a smart thing to do? No.
No.
Steroids didn't kill the horse. This man killed a horse.
Oh, allegedly.
Allegedly killed a horse.
We don't know what actually caused, because they're not explaining what actually caused the fractured skull.
But, well,
they're saying that
unless the horse ran headfirst into a brick wall, I don't think there's too many things that's going to cause a horse to crack his head.
No, let me rephrase that.
Mm-hmm.
He did strike the horse. We do not know if striking of the horse caused the brain to cause the fracture of the skull.
But I'm just going to say this.
If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's not a pig.
Thank you. I wouldn't have gone that far, but you're not wrong. But I'm just like, there are certain things, really, you can't cover up, you can't shove under the rug, and you can't just put a pair of blinders on and pretend it didn't happen.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
And if you get that, you understand horse racing.
Thank you. Exactly. But the fact of the matter is that the man was arraigned, right?
Mm-hmm. It's going to trial.
So we're not saying anything out of turn here, but...
There's enough evidence to convict
him. So, like I said, they're saying they don't know what...
Or tie him to this.
There's no... I mean, they're saying they don't know what struck the horse to do that to its skull. The only way something could happen to that is by a rock, a heavy piece of lumber, a pipe. Like I said it jokingly before, unless the horse ran running headfirst into a brick wall, not a lot of things are going to cause a horse to do that.
Yeah, and it says in the article, is accused of striking. By the way, this article's on ESPN. Just claim my source. This is from ESQ's "A Striking the Horse with an Unsignificant or Unspecified Hard Object."
Woo! No.
Viagra.
I had to bring a little levity.
You ever see what happens when you give a horse Viagra?
Just bringing a little levity to the situation. I mean, I'm not making light of the horse's death. It's sad. It's tragic. Should have never happened. I'm just trying to bring a little levity to it. But no.
Woo!
You had to admit that was a good joke to throw in there, though.
Yeah,
you gotta
something.
Yeah. Come on, it wasn't that hard to see that. It wasn't that hard to see.
There's one other thing, too. Yeah,
but I'm bumped.
One other thing that I got to throw in there. Tip your waitress. And I'm actually really happy about this.
What's that?
Cody's Wish wins top horse, older dirt male at the Eclipse Award. So the Eclipse Award is like the end-of-the-year awards for horse racing.
Okay.
For jockeys, for horses, like it's usually they do it at the end of January, getting ready to get into the spring season, the Kentucky Derby and all that.
Okay.
Cody's Wish, horse name of the year for 53rd annual Eclipse Award, earned the older dirt male. So the reason why this is a big thing is because Cody's Wish was in honor of a Make-A-Wish
child.
The child of Cody's. I want to get this right.
It's almost like when the WWE does the Connors Cure.
Yes.
You know, for that brave little man, Connor the Crusher.
Background. Here we go. Cody's Wish. I'm just reading this real quick. Here we go. Okay. Trained by Bill Mott, Cody's Wish is named after the late Cody Dorman, a native Richmond of Richmond, Kentucky, breeder of Richmond, Kentucky, who was born with Wolf. Haricorn syndrome, WHFS, a syndrome that is of short arms, pretty much a deletion of the short arm syndrome 4. Features include are described as, like, it's just a very bad disability.
Right. It's a birth defect almost. Would you say it's like a birth?
Which is a chromosome deletion syndrome.
Okay.
Results of partially deleted of the short arm syndrome featuring look like pretty much you don't get full growth in certain areas.
Okay. Now I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
I want to make that clear what it is.
Of course.
As a result, he's used a wheelchair to communicate with a tablet. 2018 visited Greensboro Farm, sponsored by Make-A-Wish. Keelan, he met a young Mungfell Curlin, who immediately interacted with him, leaned his head on Dominic's lap, wheeling the later named Cody's Wish in his honor. So a young horse saw this kid, had a heart-to-heart with it, pretty much laid on him, did all, like, was that they renamed him Cody's Wish. They put him in the Kentucky Derby as his first race. Not the Derby, but one of the pre-races. The Kentucky Derby fucking won it. By fields, like by huge, just...
In other words, the boy and the horse had a connection.
Yes. Later, in Dominic's lap, the willing of the name, later named Cody's Wish, in Dorman's honor, November 5th, one day later, Cody's Wish repeated victory at the Breeders' Cup. Dominic suffered a fatal a medical event when returning home from Kentucky, and he died at the age of 17.
Okay.
Pretty much one of the biggest stories in, like, Cody's Wish is a huge, like, let me put it this way. He major wins. Fargo Stakes, Westchester Stakes, Churchill Downs Stakes, Metropolitan Handicap, Vosger State, which is in New York, which is a Belmont Stakes, pretty much, and the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, 2 years in a row. The Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile is considered like the World Series. It is the all-star game of horse racing, where they take the best that from everywhere, put it in there. Here's $1 million. Go race for it.
Right.
He's won it twice.
There you go.
The fact that this is a Breeders' Cup win is, and just the story, I can't be happier.
Oh, of course.
Cody's Wish deserves, like, this is a great story that, again, and it's one of those things where we don't, no one talks about it because other than if it's not the Kentucky Derby, not the Breeders' Cup, if it's not the Belmont, if it's not Laurel Park, if it's not the Preakness, no one gives a shit about horse racing.
Right.
Or if you had someone that used to be here, it's inhumane against animals.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You don't have to get on your soapbox and say what. It's fine. Whatever. But stuff like this is what interests me and what I think could interest a whole lot of other people out there. And I want to bring more of this. And we will bring more of this when the Kentucky Derby kicks off.
Okay.
Because when it comes to betting, it's the Kentucky Derby. And I'm going to be on my game. Ryan's going to be on his game for it. Because it's, as much as it is one of the biggest races of the year, there's other things that need to happen. Like, right now, no one knows about it, but the Pegasus Cup happened, which is made for 1 and 2, which is made for 2-year-olds.
Okay.
It's one of the biggest races. Pretty much it's considered the minor leagues because these are the horses that next year will be – right now they're going into their 2-year-old journey to where next year they go into the Kentucky Derby. They're starting to build up what they are. And, again, it sucks because there are so many cool things out there that you could talk about when it comes to – the Derby and shit like that. And, but yet, oh, well, it's the Big Hat Day. That's how people see it.
I mean, that's attached to it. I mean, you can't.
No, but things like Cody's Wish story than, say, the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, totally. I totally agree with you.
Let me ask you this. Other than what I just said about it, did you have any idea what that was?
So, I mean, look, I don't follow horse racing.
I'm not trying to make that as a bad thing. I'm actually asking.
No. I'm just going to speak right from the heart of this. Like, have I been to a few horse races in my life? Yes. Have I bet? Have I thrown a $2 bet down here and there? Yes. I mean, I've been to, what is it, Mammoth Park, I think? Yeah, Mammoth Park. I've been to Mammoth Park a few times, and to be honest
Park,
with
I mean,
you.
The OTB out by you. By a little handicap.
What you mean, favorites?
Yeah, favorites.
But you know what I mean? I've been in there a few times and stuff like that, but I'm not a bettor like you are. I've never been a really big gambler. I've never seen the point in it. But that's not saying anything negative. Watching
all
those
moderation.
Horses. Exactly. Watching these horses run sometimes. When they show the video of them running in slow motion, those animals are majestic. They're majestic animals. They're beautiful. You know, it's like to see those. Like, you could see them straining to run to get to that finish line. It's a wonderful thing to watch. But I've never really followed it as much as you have. But I respect it. It's a sport like anything else. It's an athletic sport, just like anything else. I have nothing but respect for it, but
yeah, but no, but like I said, though, if other than what I just said, have you heard anything about Cody's Wish?
Before you mentioned it, no. This was the first time I've ever heard of it.
And I'm sorry, that is something that ESPN should be all over.
Oh, totally.
That is something that NBC should be all over. That's something that because that is a feel-good story on every level.
No, you're right.
And guess what? Guess when they talk about it?
When?
When Brian Gumbel is on NBC.
Brian Gumbel is not the end-all be-all. I'm sorry.
But I'm saying, when he's on NBC, get ready to talk about... Or it's not even Brian Gumbel anymore. I forget who it is now. And whenever the Kentucky Derby's on and they want to do, like, the stories, that's when it comes up.
Wait, you're talking about real sports?
No. I'm talking about, like, when they're about to do the NBC call, like, when they're about to do the Kentucky Derby, to fill time, they'll talk about Cody's Wish.
And that's fine. I got no problem with that.
That's also horse racing. That's also what it needs to be.
Exactly.
But something like the fact that this was a Make-A-Wish Foundation
child,
and it was a connection between that and the horse, and the horse turned out to be good.
It's a once in a lifetime thing. It's something you never.
It's a movie.
Oh, it's totally a movie. It's totally a movie, and I wouldn't be shocked if down the road that there isn't a movie made of that. Would I be shocked? No. Would I go see it? Probably.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Speaking of Kentucky Derby, last thing this, and then we'll start moving on because Ryan should be joining us shortly.
And we'll go over the Rumble a little bit because I want to get Ryan's take on the Rumble and stuff. I got a little thing I want to discuss too about the Hall of Fame coming up. So just
okay.
I want to discuss the WWE Hall of Fame coming up, but we'll get to that later.
All right, Kentucky Derby purse is going to increase to $5 million, with $3.1 million going to the winner.
Damn. After taxes, what do they bring home after taxes on something like that?
Not actually a decent amount because it's Kentucky.
What's that got to do with it?
It's not Jersey. Jersey takes out the most. Jersey and New York take out the most fucking taxes.
Who are you trying to talk about, eh?
You know I'm right.
You're not wrong. I'm not disagreeing with you.
But, yeah, I'm happy. More money seems to be going in the horse racing.
As well it should, you know? I mean, like I said, I may not be a mega fan of it, but I'm not going to disrespect it either. Because, I know a little about it, but I don't know enough about it to criticize it. In a negative way. I should say in a negative way.
You get the people that, it's inhumane for this, Like, stop. Some of these horses. That's like PETA coming out and talking about Ugga. Oh, Ugga needs to be treated better. Yeah, okay. That dog lives better than some humans.
Next thing you know, they're going to go after the turnover pencil. That pencil's not sharp enough.
Hey, here's something for you.
Oh, come on. Nothing on that.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right, but I got something for you I got something for you. Friday, February 16th is the first pitch, college baseball.
I might tune in to watch that.
And, there's so many teams playing.
Yeah, well, you see, that's where I'm probably. Does Rutgers have a baseball team?
Yes, they do. And hello, Ryan.
Hey-o.
Hey.
Rutgers opens up the season at Winthrop.
Okay.
What is it? You got places like so. I'm just gonna pull up the.
It's just kind of like college basketball and football, where there's a million fucking schools playing.
Yes. Yeah. All right. You want to know what the preseason 25 is, real quick? So you have an idea. Honestly, the teams I'm about to tell you, other than like Rutgers, are teams you should kind of keep your eye on. All right.
Go for it.
25, South Carolina.
Okay.
24, K-State.
Okay.
23, now I'm not stuttering here, Northeastern. 22, UCLA.
Okay.
21, Texas Tech. 20, Iowa. No shit. 19, Alabama. No shit. 18, Coastal Carolina. No fucking shit! One of the best fucking college baseball teams out there. 17, UC Santa Barbara. Okay. 16, Texas. Their softball team's fucking amazing.
I'll take your word for it.
15, North Carolina. Again, no shit. No shit. 13,
no shit.
NC State. No shit.
Let Ryan say after it is. Ryan 12, say it.
Duke.
No fucking shit.
There you go. Cut that.
11, East Carolina. That's a no shit. I'm sorry. No one knows about that. East Carolina's fucking amazing.
Oh, shit.
Number 10, Clemson. No, not no shit. They're actually surprising that they're 10. 9, Tennessee.
Oh, shit.
Number 8, Texas A&M.
No fucking shit, jackass.
Number 7, Oregon State. You can stop right there. Oregon State actually is surprising that they're that high. Number 6, Vanderbilt. God, they can't be anything. They can't be better than anything else. No shit. Number 5, TCU.
No shit.
I think it's a subtle one.
Number 5, TCU. No shit.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys from TCU that I've been with. I don't need to see their best to know that they're strong at baseball. Thank you, Juwana. We don't need your help anymore. Number 4, LSU. No shit. Number 3, Arkansas. Number 2, Florida.
Come on, John. Say it.
No motherfucking shit, man.
And number 1, kind of surprising that they're number 1, Wake Forest.
No, I've actually seen a couple of Wake Forest games over the years.
Yeah.
I've tuned in on it.
One of the greatest Mets was from Wake Forest.
Who was the Mets that came right away first?
David Wright.
Oh, that's right. Yes, he was.
He was a Demon Deacon.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Wake Forest, number 1. Honestly, the teams that you really should watch, Tennessee, LSU, Florida, Texas, and Coastal Carolina, and then obviously your home teams like Rutgers and shit like that.
Well, you know what it is? I'll just have to...
Honestly, if you can find one on TV, just watch it because it's so fun.
And if the team grabs my attention, I might follow them. Who knows?
Just have fun with it.
Yeah.
Brian, you're a little far away from your microphone.
Sorry. Is that better?
That's much better.
It's better. Oh, not much. I mean, I know it's been a slow news week.
We just spent 30 minutes talking about NASCAR and horse racing.
Oh shit!
And we made it entertaining too.
I mean, the only news that I've really been following lately is the Vince McMahon stuff.
I wanted to bring that up. Ronnie didn't want to talk about it.
All right.
Well, I mean, no, it's fair, man. If you don't want to talk about it, we don't have to talk about it.
No, I also want to preference that. We have to cut this here and preference that from here on out, we are going to be talking about WWE. We are going to talk about – if we are going to talk about Vince McMahon, we are going to be talking about a lot of touchy shit. So
– no shit.
This is it with sports. This is it with the – there's no football picks because next week it's the Super Bowl. Sports, we are going into sports entertainment – pro wrestling. So if you do not want to listen, there's going to be a lot of touchy subjects going on from here on out. You have been warned.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Now that that's out of the way.
Now that we have that taken care of.
Yes.
Canadians are weird.
Oh, Vince McMahon, yeah.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so for pro wrestling fans, like they all know what's going on.
You don't have to be living under a rock to know what's going on.
For those that don't know what's going on, because there will be some people that are like, what the fuck, you know, is going on?
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, most people know who he is, but, you know, there will be people that don't know about what's going on with him.
Uh-huh.
And he's currently entwined in litigation over a non-disclosure agreement and some payouts and basically the fact that the depraved sexual maniac...
I'm going to get a drink. You guys talk.
Sexual maniac that he portrayed on TV was not just a gimmick.
So we're going to – just let me reference this to say, this is all alleged until it's proven. We're just going to throw that out there.
No. There are text messages that have been entered into evidence. These are not allegations. There is –
okay. All right. Go ahead. I'll let you talk.
So apparently Vince McMahon had an affair with one of the legal interns, and basically she had signed – a non-disclosure agreement to not talk about what had gone on for a payout of $3 million. Apparently the problems came in whenever she never got a single payout past the first million.
First installment, right.
Right. Now, apparently she did receive a lot of lavish gifts from Vince McMahon, including, you know, hard to get tickets to events like WrestleMania, Broadway, professional sporting games, whatnot.
$15,000 in gift cards.
The whole nine yards.
Right.
But now more is starting to come out. Some of it's kind of funny. Some of it is kind of hard to hear.
Disgusting is more the word.
Disgusting is definitely one word for it.
Yes.
So I figure we're going to talk about this stuff. You know, we can do the lighthearted stuff first. The stuff that is strange, kind of funny at the same time. Like Vince McMahon's personal collection of...
I know exactly where you're going with that, and I'm trying not to laugh already.
Some good old marital leads that look like Andre the Giant.
Good Dilskis. That he's named after certain WWE superstars.
Let me put it to you this way, people. If you want to hear, we're going to talk about it, but if you want to hear somebody crack up about it, Jim Cornette did a bit on this.
Dude, Cornette ain't got no room to talk. He likes to watch the boys fuck his fat ass old lady.
Hold on.
Yes, that's what it sounds like whenever Jim fucking fights his dick out of his pants.
I was gonna say when Vince is using the fucking marital aids.
That too.
Apparently, you know, he named him after WWE superstars and refer to them by name.
Which one was Virgil?
The one that...
Who did he give the powers of pain to?
Virgil's the one that's collecting dust because it never got used.
And God.
Now, outside of that lighthearted stuff, there was some, like, extreme sexual depravity going on. And
yeah.
Let me... This next part of the conversation by saying we're going to get real fucking graphic here.
No shit.
Have either of you read through any of the text messages?
I haven't, but I've heard some stories about them. I haven't read them yet.
Ronnie, anything?
No.
Okay, so here's the thing. I've read some of them. There are 67 pages to this deposition.
Yeah.
That I did hear. That part I did hear.
Now, while I am a giant wrestling nerd, that type of wrestling nerd, so
but
I did
you,
not...
But you know them. Someone went through all 67 pages and read...
Oh, yes. More than one person went through all of them. But the stuff that was released were text messages between the plaintiff, Janelle, and, of course, the defendant, Vince McMahon. And I will say that some of the things that he asked her for, explicit video-wise, he flaunted in front of us, and we were too stupid to see. Now, I will also say that those that knew him probably saw it, but those of us that had no idea, yeah, we're going to be stupid. But apparently there was a request re-sign a former WWE champion, and it has been brought out that that champion.
Maybe not named. Let's go by rephrase. Arby's Bork. Rose Bork.
This is all in litigation. There's no allegation. It's no allegation. Like, this is in litigation.
Oh, just so we don't get anything. Bork Laser.
We can't get anything because it's all in court records. Anyways. And this video would involve this female and three well-endowed black men. And after they were finished with their raw dog session, apparently Vince would come in and just fucking jerk off over the person. Holy shit. Now, first off, that's super depraved because you know he's been watching the entire time. So Vince McMahon is a straight-up cuck in this situation.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to get an argument out of me.
Now, when you stop to think about it, three large black men. Hey, what stable did he make that was three large black men?
Oh, definitely hurting for that one.
Definitely in a business of hurting. And honestly, what he described for the video to be seemed quite painful.
Hey, now.
Now, where it gets really sick, because, like, whatever, man, dude gets his jollies off, how he gets his jollies off, that's none of my business, where it becomes the public's business is whenever he passed her around. Now we get into the new set of charges that have been brought against Vince McMahon, where they're going to try to nail him for sex trafficking. And if the evidence that they've shown so far is there, he might get convicted. If there was an instance where she was sent to the office of a certain executive who was a terrible skateboarder, he should have just...
There's an ace in the hole. There's an ace in the hole on this one.
Should have just carried the thing around with him. apparently she had complained because she had gone to his office for one of their regularly scheduled days, and there were two other people there. And when she complained about it to Vince, his response, and this is from the text messages, was, well, you said that you were down for anything, so if there's two other guys there, you'll be expected. And this type of depravity is actually what led to to Shane McMahon's departure from the company in the early 2000s, apparently, where Vince had wanted him to join in this type of activity, and he was just like, no, I got a wife and a kid on the way.
And this is why Stephanie is also... The rumor was this is why Stephanie left the company, too.
If we listen to Gorgeous George substantiate the Macho Man Stephanie McMahon claims, saying that it was consensual even though Stephanie would have been 16.
Wait a minute. So I'm not going to put anything in this, but could this go all the way back to then?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, I'm sure it could, man. So apparently, Gorgeous George has gone on record as saying one night before he passed, her and Randy were, you know, drinking and partying. He got pretty drunk, and he admitted that the rumors about him and Stephanie McMahon were true, but it was all consensual. Even though she was 16, there was consent. So I mean, it would definitely go all the way back to that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, people would have to be, I hate to say it this way because I hate insulting people like this, but like to believe that this is a new thing and that like.
I mean, don't forget. I mean, if a lot of people don't remember the Ring Boy scandal?
Oh, with Pat?
Yeah. And Terry Garvin and and all that stuff. That was, it's funny because on YouTube that came up as a suggestion, an old Donahue episode that had Vince on it during the Ring Boy scandal.
Yeah.
And he was acquitted of all that, wasn't he?
Something.
But continue, Ryan. Go ahead.
Right, you there?
Right.
Okay, I think. There we go. I was going to say, someone come and get you?
No, sorry.
Did you get a call from Jerry McDivitt?
I need to shut the fuck up right now. First off, if people think that this kind of stuff is new, I mean, straight up, I hate to insult you like this, but you're a fucking idiot. You're stupid, straight up. Like, ignorance is like being without knowledge, but like you're refusing knowledge, so you're being a fucking artist. Yeah, I'm surprised, but at the same time, I'm kind of not. Right.
You're shocked, but you're not shocked.
Kind of, yeah, man. Like, honestly, we all knew that Vince was kind of a fucking creep.
You think?
We all. But to find out how bad it really is, and to find out how far, you know, how far back it, because we're going to find out how far back it goes. We're going to find out. And we're going to find out a lot more that we probably never wanted to know.
And I'm scared to say our picture's going to be brought out.
If they have them, I'm sure they'll be entered into evidence, but they probably won't be available for public.
But someone will. I'm sure somebody will get their hands on it because you never know nowadays.
That's true, man.
Scary to say that, but it is. You can't tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong, man. I mean, shit gets hacked, shit gets released, all, you know. But, like, it all has to go through litigation before.
Of course.
But, yeah, like, it's really fucked up. And especially for it to happen right here at the end of his career.
And, I mean, this came out the day after they announced the Netflix deal.
Yeah, and, I mean, honestly, he needed to step away from the company completely while this is going on. I mean, he's already been labeled a financial hazard by TKO.
Oh, totally.
So, well, that answers a question, too, that people have been asking. So what happens if who inducts Vince in the Hall of Fame? Good answer now. Nobody.
He ain't going in the Hall of Fame. He'll never go in the Hall of Fame. Not going to happen.
And also I'm getting sick and tired of people turning around and saying, oh, for the first time ever, McMahon's not in charge of WWE. What the fuck's Hunter?
He's a McMahon by marriage. He's not a McMahon by blood.
That's still a McMahon.
True. No, you're right.
That's true. I was trying to avoid my dog.
Still a McMahon.
I'll be right back.
All right.
But no, it's the absolute truth. Like,
but, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to let Ryan cover this one. There's too many things I've heard a lot of reports, and some of the reports I've heard, things are just disturbing, and it's just, Ryan brought up a good point. How long has this been going on?
Oh, I think it leads up to that whole, if it was, I mean, it makes a lot of sense that the whole thing with, like, Stephanie could have been a thing.
Well, with that, I mean, no disrespect to Gorgeous George. I don't. I'm friends with her on Facebook. No disrespect to her, but unless there's concrete proof, I don't know how much I believe that. But
that's been a thing, though, that's been going
on. I've heard that rumor for years, decades. That's why the reason I heard that is because that's the reason why they said that was the main reason why Randy went to WCW, is because Vince found out about it.
Yeah.
That's one of the rumors I had heard, that the whole reason was due to contractual obligations, or they couldn't reach a new decision on a new contract. No, Vince wanted him fucking gone. And poof, he was gone. Randy called up Hogan. Hogan's like, come to WCW. And then that was that. I've heard that. That's nothing that hasn't been talked about in shoot interviews and press releases and this, that, and the other thing. Hogan's even gone on record as saying there was heat between Vince and Randy. That's why Randy left the WWE, period. But we didn't know it then. We didn't know then what we think we know now about what allegedly happened between Stephanie and Randy, you know? And, I mean, we're never going to find the truth out that unless Stephanie talks, and she ain't going to say nothing.
Vince McMahon goes on trial for sex trafficking, and it comes out that, you know, he may have trafficked his daughter to the talent.
That's the only other way that it'll come out.
That's the only way that'll come out. I don't know what you had – I don't know if you heard what I was saying with – No, I said there – we all know – I mean, it doesn't take a blind man to see the reason why Randy – Vince said, oh, Randy and I couldn't come to it, or the WWE couldn't come up in terms of new contract with Randy Savage. That's why he was let go from WWE. No, Vince allegedly found out about Stephanie and him. That's why Randy was gone. I mean, you kind of knew that's the, I mean, if the allegations are true.
But with the new stuff coming out on Vince McMahon and the fact that he would passes his affair employee, you know, the employees he's having an affair with around.
I mean, if it comes out, then hell may not even want Vince at this point. You know, I mean, that's just disgusting. But until it all comes out, we're going to have to keep that part of it out until it comes out. If it comes out in the trial, then.
Well, it's stuff that's going to be possibly talked about in the trial.
Oh, what's going to be brought up? You don't think that the prosecutor's not going to do his due diligence, his or her due diligence, and dig a little deep into the workings of WWE, and that's not going to come up?
You know, and what's really getting me is, like, this lady, you know, she has this evidence, like actual concrete evidence. Like, this is hearsay, you know, these are screenshots from her phone, from her fucking shit with Vince. And
right.
he's still denying the allegations like they never happened.
Right.
Well, of course he's going to deny it because he doesn't want the world to know that he's a deviant.
But we already knew it. Look, everybody knows that the best characters in wrestling are what?
Themselves turned up to 11.
An extension of yourself turned up to 11. Why does my character get over? Because my character is an asshole. Because I'm an asshole, but I can't be an asshole all day every day.
you gotta cap it sometimes, in other words?
God, that Paul Heyman shoot with the Alliance, really, it's harder now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
like,
that Billy Jack Shane shoot. Oh, well, they called him a pimp.
Right.
Well, that kind of rings true now.
So what if Vince, like, literally flaunted this in front of us? Like, and if that's the case, like, we got this specialized video request for Bork, and now we've got a tag team called The Hurt Business that is three dudes.
That's new. That's new news. I've never heard that. That's the first I'm hearing of that.
By the way, did you notice they stopped calling themselves that?
Yeah.
They're just Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits.
Be- because it was an inside joke. It was reference to that. Like,
business is booming.
Like, I could pull up the text messages and read them to you, John. It's explicit as fuck.
We'll do that off air. We'll do that off air, worst case scenario.
I mean, it's no worse than my dad wrote a porno, and that's a pretty popular podcast.
Okay. No, but I mean, what about the whole shitting thing?
What shitting thing?
You didn't hear the whole apparently he apparently shit on her head. That came out apparently.
No, I haven't heard that one. I never heard there was any.
Like I said, take this for what it was, but Cornette pulled up the Wall Street Journal article. And apparently there was an incident where Vince defecated on her head. They don't know if it was for pleasure or an accident.
It's a scat play.
But they don't know if
it was.
You fucking prick. No, but if you go to supposedly in the article, supposedly this was in the Wall Street Journal. So I'm not saying it because, I mean, I saw a screen cap from the Wall Street Journal that mentions a possible, you know, they don't know if it was, he was with her and it was an accident or if it was intentional.
How do you accidentally shit on someone's head?
Oh,
like, maybe he sharded. Maybe he sharded. Who knows?
I've heard of giving someone a shit hat, but that's just ridiculous.
I swear to God, look it up. It's out there.
People online do not look up what a shit hat is.
No. But I'm saying what this was. This was discussed live on different avenues. So that's where I heard it. Like I said, I heard it off of Jim Cornette and when Cornette, because Cornette was. Him and that guy, I think his name is Brian, I think.
I don't think Brian's with them anymore.
Well, whoever he does the podcast with. They said breaking news, and then they discussed it, and then they actually brought up that in this Wall Street Journal article, there was apparently a head defecation situation. You're getting way too much joy out of that.
Fucking funny.
Yeah,
how do you even I don't care how fucking kinky your relationship is, how do you bring that up?
Not even fucking Trevor Bauer was that kinky.
Right, like got this great idea. Put a shit on your head.
Stand here, I'm gonna run up to the balcony, just sit here with a target on your face.
Don't worry, it's going to be really sexy. I'm just going to shit on your head, you poor person.
I thought you heard that one.
My phone just went off. I bet you that's WWE saying stop talking.
Jerry McDevitt, he's listening to the podcast. Hey, Jerry.
Just whatever. Oh, God. Yeah, you know what? That's the perfect soundbite for it, too.
What?
Let me see if I can find it real quick. God damn it. Oh,
hey,
it's this.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Now I can see where possibly the bell has got that idea.
Hey, one never knows.
Like, how do you even have that conversation, like, I know it's Vince McMahon. You know, it's like he's like, I've got this idea.
Listen,
or I'm gonna
listen.
On the
I got this idea. I got this idea. You
it's a great
here,
gimmick. It's a great gimmick.
You sit here. I'm gonna go upstairs and shit on your head. Listen, it's gonna be great. Don't worry about it.
It's gonna get over.
This shit's gonna be hot as fuck.
Oh God. Ryan, I'm going to send you a link to the Cornette interview. Cornette,
I've already listened.
And I've got to say, in all honesty, it's the biggest piece of dog shit that I have ever heard.
Oh, my God.
Right now, I can just hear Courtney going like, fuck you guys.
Cornette's going to block us all on Twitter. Oh,
it's free real estate.
But you know, like, man.
See, I heard something new. I heard something new tonight. You heard something new tonight.
Yeah, I didn't know that he was shitting on people. Literally, like,
but like I said,
my emotions,
What'd you say? I didn't hear what you said.
We've all seen Vince on the talent by being like, oh, you're in your hometown, kids. You're going to lose tonight. But I brought all my family in. Yeah, you're going to lose. It builds character.
Unless you put my fingers in your butthole.
Unless you let me go get Macho Man Randy Savage and Bobby Lashley.
Thank you very much for sleeping. I didn't hit that twice. Okay, I was gonna say, like, what the fuck?
Hold on. I got something to send you.
Uh-oh.
What?
While you taking a shit, was he screaming?
I am a man.
Real men could shit.
I
shit on command. Damn it.
Josh could puke. I could shit.
And damn it, my body doesn't shit. I tell my body when to shit.
My bowel movements come out like fucking cannons, damn it. The genetic jackhammer's great when it's coming out, too.
The colonastic cannon. The colon cannon.
God damn it, my fiber intake is great. My colon's a fucking cannon.
The colon cannon.
If you don't like it, you can, goddamn it, you can get on your knees and kiss my ass.
Oh, God. My ass could have a whole new definition.
I've seen that photo.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. I haven't seen it. Hold on. Let me get to...
People are still trying to figure out what the second one was, the thumb.
Isn't that Mae Young's kid?
It's Mick Foley.
Cockbreak kid, Shawn Michaels.
This is a cockbreak kid.
Dude.
Brett Cock.
The best dildo there is, the best dildo there was, the best dildo there ever be.
Oh, no, it's King Kong Bundy.
Oh, God.
It's short and fat. That's what it is with King Kong Bundy.
It's not. It's
got a green fingernail.
It's
the Warrior. Maybe it's the Warrior.
Well, no, unless it's George the Animal Steel.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it is. It's George Steel with the green tongue.
Oh, dear God. Here comes the animal. Literally.
I'm taking on the eighth wonder of the world. Damn it.
No, she's taking on the eighth wonder.
Question. Was there a McFoley Delpke?
Wait, what's the other one? What's the black one?
Wait a minute. I got to go back and look at this again.
No,
one's Macho Man. One's Bret Hart. One's Hitman. Bret Hart. One's Shawn Michaels. One's
Hogan. The one at the end says thump on it.
Oh, it's JYD.
It says thump. JYD, Bret Hart, Randy Savage, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Hulk Hogan, George the Animal Steel, and Andre the Giant. Oh, dear God. I just noted on the first one, it says thump on it.
He needs a Batista one.
During the thing with Cornette, he goes, I'm going to give you the Saba Simba, the powers of pain, the Captain Lou. But the Captain Lou can't get up because it's probably drunk.
Oh, it's floppy. It's got whiskey dick.
It's got whiskey dick.
That's right, damn it. you don't do what I say, I'm going to go get Andre. Sir, but Andre's been dead for 20 years. I didn't mean the real Andre.
Because what I had heard... Well, it's the big dick. But no, what I had heard was apparently when it came to those AIDS, that it caused bleeding and bruising, according to the article.
So there's one we're not seeing.
Yeah, look at
the guy. I mean, that hurts Virgil.
No, Virgil's dusty sitting in the corner, not getting over.
No, Virgil's the one that shoved up, what's her name, Snatch. Missy Hyatt.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ, Missy Hyatt's never been this depraved, I don't think.
And you wonder why Missy Hyatt probably said, oh, I'm going to go work for Vince McMahon, I'm out.
I'll do video wrestling vixens. That's safer.
Right.
It's a whole new amazing to getting ahead.
What does everybody want?
What is Al Snow just a mannequin head?
Oh God damn.
Oh, okay, dude. Check this out. Okay, so, sorry that this you said
I was
Al Snow.
Say, how the fuck are we getting here?
Al Snow mannequin head. This place wrestled at Mount Vernon last week.
Right.
And they've got a trophy case with like mementos from some of the bigger stars that come through promotion.
Right.
And there was an autographed Al Snow mannequin head. It said mannequin head. It reminded me.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to say, what does everybody want? Oh, God damn.
How many superstars have a dildo?
Well, definitely in the picture, I think there's a, but I'm just...
Do you think those ones exist?
I think those ones right there exist. I think you also have to...
Do you think there's a Jeff Hardy one that's got different colors on it?
It's all extreme and got like...
that's only used by Lee. Never mind. there's got to be a Batista one. There's got to be a Hunter.
Oh, God.
It's definitely a Triple H, and it's got a huge nose.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
There's got to be a Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
Yeah, but they're the... No, it's not. They're not the outsiders. They're the insiders.
So that means Kevin Nash and Diamond Dallas Page.
Feel the bang.
Because remember, that was their tag team name. They were the insiders.
That gives a feel the back a whole new
meaning.
I just said that. Is there a Buff Bagwell? Is there a Buff the Stuff?
Buff getting
stuff. But it's...
What's that?
But yeah, but it's mom calling for it.
Now it takes a whole new meaning to a dildo on a pole match.
Viagra on a pole match.
I mean, I'm not hearing much of a difference from a Judy Bagwell on a pole match.
Nope.
No, there was a Judy Bagwell on a forklift match.
Is there a Shelton Benjamin's mama?
No, but I bet you there's a Iris.
Okay, now, is there a Hornswoggle? And that's just a butt plug.
Is there Daniel Bryan in his friend in with a cane? With a cane one as a backup? It's just red.
Oh, dude.
The big red machine.
No, every time you put it in, it goes, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, God, is there a Paul Bearer?
Oh, God.
Is there a Taz? It's just got the Tasmanian devil gear.
Just choked you out.
It's just, yeah, it's more for blowjobs than anything. It's just supposed to gag you.
That gives the Dudley Boys Got Wood table a whole new meaning, too.
Does Edge and Christians have suction cups so you can stick it to a chair?
Oh, God.
No, but you just reek of
awesomeness. It reeks of awesomeness.
Reeks of something.
Reeks of assiveness. I guess all those jokes were during the Edge of Christian show where they had ass cream. Well, Maybe they borrowed that from somebody.
You all think this is funny?
Is there a Jericho one, you think?
Yeah, and it's shiny and silver like the debut jacket.
Is there a Mike Awesome one?
No.
The Fat Chick Thriller? It's the punishment one that's made for anyone that's made for like someone like Nia Jax.
Now I know why she screamed her hole.
Oh. Oh, man.
Oh, God, we're having way too much fun with this.
And on that note,
I think we should just end it here. Unless you, Ryan, you want to discuss it some more.
And we could always make a few more jokes.
Why not? We've gotten this far. What the hell?
I mean, we have 24 minutes. This is not Tara Tricep on it.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry, I hurt my... Hey, I...
I don't
know
where
that... Do we really want to talk the Rumble?
I mean, we can. It wasn't a terrible Rumble.
No, I mean... The only surprise, like I said to Ronnie, Ryan, I don't know, I want to get your take. The only real surprise was Jordynne Grace. Do you agree or disagree?
It's a pretty cool surprise, man.
Oh, yeah, it was a total great surprise. And she had a great showing in there, too.
Yeah, and I love that Triple H is like, you know, you've not seen the last of her in WWE.
My favorite line is the fact that I'm not going to tell anyone she walked through a certain door because that's stupid.
Gee, I wonder who could he be talking about.
The fact that TNA now is, and Hunter's trying to help TNA get a TV deal.
Hey, I hear USA is going to need a wrestling show for a different night.
Breaking news. I've talked about her multiple times in the show. Caitlin Clark, Iowa's premier star, is now number 2 on the all-time scorers list.
Cool.
All right.
She is the fucking, the reason people are watching fucking women's basketball.
You had mentioned that last week, too, when it came to her.
Yeah, because you had fans storming the court for no fucking reason. Oh, they beat them. Oh, congratulations. You had a fucking linebacker running into her when she's on her phone.
Right.
By the way, not to insult anyone that's overweight or this, but fuck the Buckeye! We can move on.
Okay.
No, the Buckeyes, I hate Ohio State with a royal passion. Hey, Ohio State, who's holding up the trophy this year? Hail to the victor.
I could have gone back to the other thing. I just heard of this. No, I'm not going to say. I'll tell you off air.
So the Rumble, other than the two matches.
That's what I want to get. Ryan, what did you think of the Kevin Owens-Logan Paul match? What were your thoughts on that? Because I was curious to get your thoughts on that match.
That match left a bit to be desired.
And why do you think that is? Because I agree with you, but I want to get your take. I want to get, as a worker, from a worker standpoint.
I don't think there was enough build-up, basically.
Right.
I think that was the biggest problem, is that there was not enough build-up.
You're gonna have another match at, say, Elimination Chamber, or do you think this is it? This was the go-home show for that.
I really hope that it was the go-home because, man, bad.
For what? For?
Logan and Owens.
They need to stop it. If you're going to do it, great, but then it needs to be in a, like a triple threat or something like that. Maybe do something in the Elimination Chamber. Because you can always write that match off.
And what do you think about the Fatal 4-Way?
We all knew what was happening.
Right.
I, The Fatal 4-Way was good for them.
Do you think they called it audible at the end when AJ basically fell off the ropes like that? Or do you think that was the real ending for the match?
I think that was the real ending because it made Roman get away like a fucking scared bitch.
Hard to tell.
But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, but I mean, what we have here is like, there was finally something like that Roman had no control over.
That was like, we knew what we were getting. We knew we were going to get Roman retaining. So
now here's the million-dollar question, and I want to get both your guys' opinion on this when it comes to that. Now that we know Punk's out again, and Seth is not exactly super-duper questionable, are we going to get, because Cody, you know, the whole promo on Monday where Seth's like, oh, Cody, you know, this is the real title, you know, that's the Hollywood title and all that stuff.
Apparently they buried Roman in the title. I don't see it that way.
Yeah.
Do we still see Cody Roman at Mania, or do we see Cody Seth at Mania? Still want to see Cody Roman, because it's like they've been building this for too long for them to just squash it now. What do you think?
I think we get Cody Roman.
Then who goes against Seth?
I don't.
I think we get Cody Seth, and then we get Rock Roman.
I think now you have the chance to do Rock Roman, and okay, no one's gonna like me saying this, but Roman's gonna hold this title till SummerSlam.
Why do you say till SummerSlam?
So, A, he passes Hulk Hogan. SummerSlam would be a week after he would pass Hogan for the days, where he would be second overall.
And the first one was Bruno, right?
Yeah, no one's touching Bruno. No one's ever going to touch Bruno unless we have like a fucking COVID year.
Well, how long did didn't Backlund hold it for a long time?
Yeah,
too?
But he would pass Backlund by before then.
Because I know Backlund held the title for a couple of years.
Yeah, but Roman would, like, if Roman got it to the SummerSlam, he would pass Hogan. But the thing is, though, is okay. You give it to Roman. You have Roman do it. So you're gonna love this. If you get to Bash at Berlin and you get Roman to hold his title till then, and you keep Walter Gunther at unbeaten, the next pay-per-view before SummerSlam is Bash at Berlin.
You think you have Gunther dethrone him?
No. I think you set that match up and you figure out what you can do, because that is a million-dollar fucking match. Undefeated Gunther
versus
the Tribal Chief. Versus a week away or a month away from breaking Hulk Hogan's record versus undefeated Gunther.
But okay.
Are they going to let Roman break? That's the question.
The way I am seeing it, no one believes me, and I'm sticking to it. I think it's going to be Solo.
But, okay, I understand your point, but then what do you do with Cody?
You have him go against Seth.
No, but I'm saying the whole thing, Cody, you know, the Cody wants to win the WWE title.
He never said WWE title.
Yeah, he did.
Because remember, there was only – Seth made a perfect point. When he came back, there was only one title.
True.
It never was beat Roman, beat win the WWE title, something his father never did. No. But the lineage, as much as everyone says, oh, well, it's not the heavyweight champion, it's like father never was.
He was the NWA world champion.
Sorry. Okay. In WWE.
Oh, WWE, yeah.
He was WWE champion.
Right.
You still do the story. And honest to God, if you pull the trigger and beat Roman, so this is the other thing that part of the story that I really am starting to get pissed off with. If Cody beats Roman, what does that do to Cody?
What do you mean? He's the world champion and...
No, if Cody beats Roman, what does that do to Cody?
Makes him the man.
For how long?
For as long as he wants it. For as long as... My opinion is if he wins the title, you're not taking the title off of him in about 3 to 6 months.
Not what I'm asking. The winner of the person that dethrones Roman would be the person that would be, it would be on the level of dethroning Undertaker. Like if Brock never took the streak and Roman was the guy that took the streak, where would Roman be now?
Fair point.
So then, if Cody... What was that?
Nowhere near where he is today.
Exactly. He would be bigger. Cody beats Roman. What does that do to Cody that Cody isn't already?
Right.
He's not going to be the guy. He would be the guy, but for how long? 10 years? Because Cody's not going to be a lifer.
No.
What if Solo took it from him?
If Solo took it from Cody.
No. Solo takes it from Roman. At SummerSlam.
But do you really see Solo as being the next great?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do.
What's that say about Jimmy and Jay?
They're great on the. They were an amazing tag team. Solo does not have an accomplishment to his name yet, but Solo is the muscle. Roman would not have the title for what he was if it was not for Solo. So guess what? You can then turn around and say, "Hey, you held that title because of me."
I mean, you're not wrong.
You held that title for me, so I want that title. And then it proves that Solo is the guy. He will be the next head of the table, which that means you can still put Heyman with Solo, and you can reform the bloodline as Solo as the next guy with Jimmy and Jay, and maybe bring in Joseph Fatu.
And what's his name? What's the one that wrestles in WrestlePro?
Lance
on Hawaii.
You can make something of this. Roman can go away then. Because Roman can't do this forever.
How old is Roman anyway?
He's not that old, but it's the leukemia.
That's true, yeah.
And I'm sick and tired of hearing people say, oh, well, it makes no sense to give it to Solo. Why? Who else wouldn't get a bigger pop up to the top if it wasn't Solo? Because I'm sorry, as much as no one wants to say it, Solo is being booked and bred for the next guy, and no one seems to see it. They protect Solo like a motherfucker.
That's true.
What was the last time Solo's been pinned clean?
He's pinned clean a week or two ago, I think LA Knight pinned him.
Okay, a guy that's a world heavyweight champion. But then he gets his payback. Cena got pinned by him clean. That proves that he's a main event guy.
Well, if Cena gives you the rub, yeah.
But also, it doesn't hurt the fact that him taking losses two top guys yet doesn't mean shit.
No, it doesn't hurt him in any way because he's still a monster heel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You're right on that. I don't disagree with you.
He's this generation's Umaga.
Yeah. It's like everyone's – people have been telling me, oh, well, there's no reason to give him the title. There's no reason to do this. There's perfect reason to do it because you can make him the next guy for the next 30 years. He is the next Cena.
Does he have enough charisma for that, you think?
He doesn't – here's the thing. He doesn't need charisma when he's got the Walrus right next to him.
Yeah, but how long can Paul really do it, though?
Just talking?
Well, no, how long does Paul really – but no, but you have to understand. Sure, Paul could be around for – what if Paul decides he wants to – doesn't want to do it anymore?
Okay, what's stopping someone from not coming in that's done an NXT that's a talker? That's part of the bloodline.
Hey, but nobody's on that level of Paul either.
The only one that's Paul is The Rock, and The Rock ain't coming back anytime soon. But you also have to look at guys that are going to be that. Solo can talk. But also, Solo's got the blood. Like, Solo's got the lineage.
True.
Like, Jimmy and Jay never wanted to be singles wrestlers.
Yeah, but Jimmy certainly is fuck getting over as a singles wrestler.
I'm not
wrestler.
Saying he's not, but I'm saying as though they had to get split up because they felt like it was the time because they wanted to do a singles match against each other at Mania. They were the Hardy Boys to the point where they did not want to wrestle singles. They only wanted to stay as a tag team. When they had to split, they had to split.
Well, you see, Matt and Jeff had some good matches as singles. I mean, both Matt and Jeff have held numerous singles titles. Jeff was a fucking WWE champion.
But I'm not saying that. I'm saying as though they had the charisma to be singles guys, and they tested the waters with them. They never really have they have not yet tested the waters with Jimmy or Jay yet as singles guys.
Well, but if you really talk about overness, Jimmy by far is more over than Jay is. Or no, Jay is more over than Jimmy.
Jay's over than Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, with the whole yeet, you know, with the hands, day one, oosh, you know, all that stuff. Like with the raising of the hands, the entire arena raises their hands. It's almost like the yes chant. It just generically got over.
But, yeah, it got over because of his charisma. I'm not saying that Jimmy or Jay couldn't be great as singles guys, but I don't know. I can't see either one of them holding top billing. Not yet, anyway. Not like how I can see Solo holding top billing.
Well, I'll say this. I don't see Jimmy or Jay winning the World Heavyweight title or the WWE title. I could definitely see a U.S. title run or an Intercontinental title run for either one.
I see them in their same spot as their father.
Yeah,
mid-card. Nothing wrong with that. Shit, Rikishi's ass was mid-card, and he put them through college.
There ain't nothing wrong with me.
Oh, no, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
But the thing is though, I see Solo as a world champion.
As a main, you see him as a main eventer.
A main eventer. I see him as a main eventer because he has the same attitude with the charisma of the attitude of Umaga with the charisma of Rikishi.
Yeah. Which is huge.
Which is huge, yeah, but
you're not wrong.
But they're not. But the thing is they are protecting him. They are not. They are letting him be the muscle. Which there's nothing wrong to it. But when he speaks, he gets to the point.
True.
And that's the thing. Like he's not. Heyman is teaching him perfectly what to do. And everyone that doesn't see it, there's a lot of people that don't see it. There's small things that he does.
Is Heyman kind of like grooming him like he groomed Taz?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because he wanted Samoa Joe to be the next Taz, but Joe didn't want to fucking play ball. So he's making Solo be the next fucking murder machine.
And it's perfect.
And it's great, and it's working. I'm getting sick, and I'm sorry, also, too. You have 9 months to build Solo as the next guy. You're telling me you can't do that through storyline and build? You could literally have him DQ. He could be the reason Walter gets a win in Berlin to keep his world to keep it, but doesn't get the world title.
Okay.
Where Solo turns on Roman, and that's their build-up to SummerSlam. You're welcome, WWE. You can take that, write it down. I'll stick my check in the mail. Because I'm sorry, there's things they can do. Gunther Roman is money.
Oh, it totally would be money. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Oh, well, you're going to have Gunther get his first loss. I go, you can't have Gunther get his first loss in his hometown.
Well, Drew lost in his hometown.
They don't like... Yeah, Gunther wasn't also undefeated.
Yeah, true.
That was a Vince McMahon thing.
Yeah.
Who's in your hometown?
Saying Gunther Walter's going to lose, I'm saying is that Gunther could easily beat Roman, but it's that story that the undefeated guy going against the guy.
Right.
Now, how do you get over to SmackDown? Easy. Draft him. Swap the U.S. title with the IC title. Easy.
Gunther was on SmackDown for a long time. That's why they wanted to put him on Raw, because he'd never been on Raw before.
Yeah, I think the fact that the next big storyline would be by July, have him go against Roman.
All right, we got what, like 4 minutes?
Like 3 minutes.
All right, real quick before we take. I think we all know Bray's probably going in the Hall of Fame this year. I think it's pretty much a no-brainer that that's going to happen. Who do you think is deserving of the Hall of Fame this year that's not in it?
Batista. And can you?
Right.
That's not in it?
That's not in it.
Yeah, I'd probably have to say Batista too.
I got a tag team that's not in there that should be in there, and that's Demolition.
I got one person that needs to be in there that's not in there yet. And it's in Philly! The goddamn Walrus!
Oh, he's probably going in. I wouldn't. No, but I'm talking about, I mean, that's kind of an obvious choice. But I'm talking about, like, the Bam Bam Bigelows, the Davy Boy Smiths, you know, the Demolition.
I got
this Elizabeth.
One. I got one, but it's going to be very hard.
What's that?
Hunter liked them. Get Chris.
Chris.
Benoit.
Never gonna happen.
That's I agree with Ryan. It's never gonna happen.
It needs to, but it won't.
Yeah, look, I'll just say this. As a wrestler, there was nobody I looked up to Chris Benoit as a wrestler. But with that stigma attached to him, it's never gonna happen.
But that's the thing. You can easily erase the shit, they've done it already. You can make it just about the wrestler.
Hell, they started to erase Vince from shit.
That's what I mean. If you're, like, you can erase, you're going to erase Vince. You can literally talk about Chris Benoit just from his WCW days. Leave it as is. All right, well, we're about to get cut off.
All right, let's wrap this up.
We've done 3 hours. Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, follow us on all social media accounts at the Nerd Report Network, individually at F and Ronnie.
At the Zombie Master.
At Stuntcock STL.
Follow us on all social media accounts. Follow us individually. We just said that. If you like what you heard, tell your friends. If you didn't like what you hear,
well, fuck yourself in the face.
I hope you get a shit hat.
I hope you wake up to a stocking full of reindeer jizz.
Jesus.
And if you didn't like what you hear, tell your enemies. But until then, always tell them three things. One, Bobby Bonilla's getting paid. Two, Shohei Ohtani will soon be getting paid. And three, there is always a teachable moment. And if you don't believe me, well, then hell, that's just a fact of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good night.
Fuck off.